When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to get it. Do you want to need it? I'm going to have it. Who's going to have it? Your lady needs to get it. You're going to give it. I need it in the morning. I need it in the evening. I got to get it when I'm on a picnic. And ladies, you know you want to give it up. You got to give it up.
Oh, I want to take this time. And I mean this sincerely. This comes from me and everybody involved. But I want to thank everybody for supporting the movie Grandma's Boy.
I know what people could, blacks could feel. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this. And yet, it's said. It comes through. It fires out of me. And even now, in the passion and the that's here as I confront myself.
That's fun.
It's a lot.
Question right off the bat. Saw it on Twitter yesterday. We shoot Clerks 3 in May, hit somebody shoot September through Christmas. In February, doing Moose Jaws, but after that, I Smell a Rat. Mall Rat sequel, yes or no?
Yeah? Yeah, that was the first time I said it. Yeah. That's what we're working on.
And so how far along is it in production, or is it just in early stages?
It's I have the script right now, and we're pulling our loot together. I mean, we've got, you know, up until the beginning of 2016.
Good.
for me. So we'd shorten the sleeves with safety pins and rubber bands. So a
puppy dog.
I fell in love in the front seat of a 56 Ford at a drive-in movie, sliding over toward a girl in shorts and necking a little on a bench seat, my gear shift in the middle. She was young and eager. It didn't take much to slip her in gear and let out the clutch, but the beautiful bench where we performed our feats has been replaced by two bucket seats. And the brake lever, gear shift, and armrest between me and the girl I love best, which is sensible.
Bird of prey, bird of prey. Flying high in the summer sky. Bird of prey, tell them you came and saw and looked into my eyes and saw the shadows of the guard receding. Thoughts in time and out of season. The hitchhiker stood by the side of the road and leveled his thumb. Winter photography, Our love's in jeopardy. Winter photography. Our love's in jeopardy. Sit up all night, talking, smoking, count the dead and wait for morning. Tell them you came and saw and looked into my eyes and saw the shadows of the guard receding. Thoughts in time and out of season. The hitchhiker stood by the side of the road and leveled his thumb in the calm calculus of reason. Then a car passed. Why does my mind circle around you? Why do planets wonder what it would be like to be you? All your soft, wild promises were words, birds endlessly in flight. Your dog is still lost in the frozen woods, or he would run to you. How can he run to you, lunging with blooded sickness on the snow? He's still sniffing gates and searching strangers for your smell.
Was that promise that you made?
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? Now I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky. For you and I,
our love's in jeopardy.
Come on, come on.
Yeah.
And that's how you open
there
the
you kick it off.
The best of best show 2015 show.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla voice. When I'm in
you always are.
Yeah, I guess so.
You got a booming voice.
I guess that's the way it always is. So this is it. This is the best of the best show 2015. It's been a hell of a year, so AP Mike, myself,
yeah.
Pat Byrne is going to be calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so many clips. I pulled so many clips today. I know we're not going to get through them all.
Yeah, it's hard to narrow it down.
Because just going through this past year of material, it's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
All of the content.
Great year. Lots of laughs.
Amazing year. Tons of laughs.
Yeah.
So if you haven't caught up on a year of the best show, it's your chance to go ahead and get some snippets of what you missed. If you're new to the best show, this is probably a great primer for you of some of the great things that happened on the best show with Tom Sharpling this year.
And I wanted to start it with a collage because we weren't going to play music, so I guess that would be our sort of musical filler.
Yeah.
And I've always been a big fan of the collage. And, you know, Tom just enjoys doing it so much. You can tell he really, you know, puts a lot of effort into it. And this particular one got big laughs, with the, the Doors material coming in for the collage. I think that was the first
that
time
was
he
the
used
first
it.
Time that he that
yeah.
he used that.
Yeah, yeah.
So and since then, it's grown into include stuff from Whiplash, mm-hmm. Sarsaparilla, the Singing Gorilla.
I'm still trying to pitch him some great lines from Foxcatcher. I think there's some great stuff in there that yeah. I would love to see incorporated. But hey, it's his thing.
Yeah,
you know he's going to do what he's going to do. So you know, hey.
I'm still trying to pitch him the using some of the clips from Tony Banks on the. Some of its part Genesis documentary.
Oh, okay, all right,
where,
okay.
You know, Banks is just being a smarmy jerk.
Yeah, I actually watched that. You guys recommended that, yeah. And I'm not even a Genesis fan, but
but you were afterwards, right?
No.
Okay,
but I could appreciate the in band infighting,
right?
And yeah, that guy just came off as like a total jerk.
And on the line with us right now, the schemer himself, okay. Pat Byrne.
The schemer.
Hello.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
So 2015 best show. What are some of your favorite memories? What has it been like for you?
Well, it's been great. I mean, I think we have a great show ahead. Collectively, we kind of put all of our heads together and found some of the best nuggets.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a hell of a year. So it's there's so many lists. I don't even know where to start. I took like a second before I called in. Did you guys already start listing them, or did you not?
We haven't listed anything they're going to hear tonight.
All right. Well, that of course was one of the best sound collages.
Yeah, by far. I believe that was.
I also remember him practicing that one. And
yeah.
An earlier draft had Sarsaparilla in it.
I do remember he was so giddy just getting that to line up perfectly with the Hi, I'm Dennis. It's always great to see Tom work on the collages before the show and get all of his elements in place, and especially if there's something that he's super excited about and adding for the very first time. So... Huge year, first independent year for the best show. Split Cider didn't seem to include us.
Who is Split Cider?
On
I mean,
list?
Are they big?
But,
I mean,
they're big. They're
right,
big.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. It's okay. Uh-huh. This is probably my favorite comedy podcast, even though I'm a little
biased.
Oh,
it's a podcast. I thought it was just a website.
Oh, no. Well, it's a website. It's a podcast.
All right.
We want people to download the shows.
Okay.
But also, we want people to call in tonight, 201-332-3484, or 201-332-3484. You can choose either one. And let's go ahead and get into some clips. This is probably one of the, this year has become one of the legendary Tom stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think about what we're going to hear?
Yeah, legendary.
Legendary.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. We don't even need to say anything else about it. Let me pop that up so it's ready to go.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. I don't even know if Pat knows what it is, right? But
I think I do.
I think you do. It involves.
I'm just outside the window. I'm looking.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. Why didn't you let him in?
That's Jason? Real creepy.
I mean, you locked him out before.
Well,
I mean, what was that all about?
Hey, he's got the flu. I don't need that.
I'm quarantined.
He's quarantined. I don't need that sickness in my life. But this story is legendary. It involves an elevator in the fine city of San Francisco. It is the Patti Smith story.
I was in San Francisco a couple weeks ago. There was a Sharpling and Worcester tribute at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. It really was awesome. Great night. So many awesome people came out. And they were, it was fun to see all the people and say hi to everybody. We had an awesome night. In the hotel. This is the hotel that Sketchfest, they put everybody up in the same hotel. So naturally me, I spent probably 90% of the time there. Cautiously looking around, hoping to not run into Pete Holmes. That probably took up 90% of my mental and psychological real estate, hoping to not run into this guy after I've teased him on the air. I got no problem with this guy, Pete Holmes. Seems like a perfectly fine guy. He's in charge. These are the guys who are in charge. They got to take a little rock throwing from a toilet rat like me down here in the cellar. I got nothing. They got everything. I got nothing. So I throw a couple rocks. What are you going to do? It means you're up on top. Peasants throwing rocks at you once in a while. You should be honored to get rocks thrown at you. It means you're winning. Mike loves this. So I'm in the hotel, trying to avoid running into Pete Holmes or other people who I've made fun of, for that matter. And it becomes apparent to me. I get on the elevator once. Who's on the elevator? There's this lady next to me, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm in the elevator with Patti Smith. And I'm like, goodness gracious, I can't believe this. I'm with Patti Smith in the elevator. And I tell everybody, you never guess who I was in the elevator with, Patti Smith. Then walking around there's an adjoining mall to this hotel. We're walking around there. Suddenly, there's Patti Smith again. There she is. It's Patti Smith. Second time. When do you see her? Two times. Unbelievable. Then. I'm like, can you believe I ran into her two times? No, but then I run into her third time. She passes by in the hotel lobby. There goes Patti Smith again. She was playing that weekend in San Francisco. I'm not sure if she drove or she flew there. I'm not sure, but see her third time. Then, and now the topic is going to come on the heels of this, I see her a fourth time. And I was going to get in the elevator a few minutes later, but she's getting in the elevator. I'm like, I'm going in the elevator. I'm going to say something to her. But I'm not going to say the usual thing that any dummy says to her. I'm going to say something to her original. And if you want a little foreshadowing, the topic for the rest of the night that's going to be on the table is called, I Wish I Could Take That Back. So I get on the elevator with her, and I said to her, I said, hey, how was the show last night? Because she had done two shows. I was like, how was the show? She's like, oh, it was a great, great show. It was a great show. You know, we played a long night. So I'm pretty wiped out. This is just mortifying that I'm talking about this on the air. I might stop. So then I say to her, hey, can I ask you a question, please? She's like, sure. And I'm like, did you ever see Humble Pie back in the day? And then she just looks at me like I'm the craziest of crazy people. And she says, nah, they were ahead of my time, which isn't true either. And then I stammered something out about Steve Marriott, and then thankfully the elevator doors opened and I got out. Oh, so mortifyingly stupid. I went for it, and boy, did I. That was a swing and a miss. I don't know. I don't know, Mike. Mike, I don't know. I don't know why. Mike just said, why Humble Pie? Mike, I wish I knew. If I knew, I wouldn't have done that. If I knew, I would have asked that to myself. What a dumb moment. I wish. And the topic. Are you okay? He's choking out there. It was one of those things where you feel, you know that effect that's in like Vertigo, the movie Vertigo? Imagine that effect, but with Patti Smith staring at me. And then looking, Patti Smith, just as quickly, looking away. I was like, that was a Hall of Fame. I could have said anything to her. Anything. I could have put points on the board. I don't know what I thought I was doing with that. Oh. Did you ever see Humble Pie back in the day? She looked at me like I was... I had to get off that. I don't even know if she got off first or I got off. I don't know. I can't even remember anymore. One of us got out of there as fast as can be to get away from the moment that I created. Oh, one thing I want to tell you guys about, my friends, I would like to tell you all about... I'd like to tell you all about Howl.fm. That's right, it's me, John McCain. No, Howl, what the... I know you're saying to yourself, Tom, what the hell is Howl.fm? Well, you listen to me, my friends. Howl.fm is a brand new app and website that changes the way you think about podcasts. It's like Netflix, but for podcasts. They got all sorts of things on this. You got original shows. You got all the archives of WTF with Mark Maron, speaking of what that other guy was saying, and Earwolf shows like Comedy Bang Bang or How Did This Get Made? New episodes released every week, dozens of original miniseries, audio documentaries, and comedy albums. A couple shows you might want to take note of. Something Cool. What is that? Well, it's my friend Rachel Lichtman does a show. It's an audio documentary series that focuses on underrated artists who deserve to have their story told. And the most recent episode tells the story of Carol Cleveland, you know, who was in all these Monty Python movies. And TV, she was in the TV shows, and she's super talented, and then she's kind of unknown, and her story was lost until Something Cool unearthed it. Terry Gilliam, Neil Innes, Lorraine Newman, and Carol herself tell the story of the woman known as the Seventh Python. And there's also a show called The Complete Woman, which is Amanda Lund's show, bringing to life her send-up of 1960s self-help records. Those are the kind of exclusive shows you get over at Howl.fm. And guess what? Guess what? You get all this for $4.99 a month. All this content on your iPhone, Android phone, and the web for $4.99 a month with promo code Tom. You get a full month of free trial. And redeem that promo code. You go to Howl.fm on your computer. Enter in Tom at checkout. T-O-M at checkout. At Howl.fm. Use that promo code Tom for one free month trial of Howl Premium. That's the premium service, of course. You can check all those things out. Go do it now. Support the best show. And support Howl.fm.
This is Roy in Philadelphia.
Hi, Roy. How are you?
Well, I'm a little nervous. I'm very excited to talk to your guest host.
Oh, yeah, I know who this is. This is Philly Boy Roy, right?
That's correct, host.
Uh-huh. Why are you being so weirdly formal tonight? I've known you for probably 13 years now. You've never sounded this way before.
Well, I think it's proper to show proper respect when a guest of this magnitude is on your show.
Oh. That's wow. That's very thoughtful.
Yeah, really flattering.
Do you have a question for my guest?
I sure do. Mr. Rudd.
Paul, please.
I know you've been having flagrant legal problems lately, what with you hiring hitmen to off two people, but I was wondering if there's any chance of you coming back to your rightful place behind the kit. Because with all due respect to Chris Slade, nobody plays She Got Balls like you, sir.
Oh, that's, I don't know what to say. I think he's confusing me with Phil Rudd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is pretty, humiliating.
Wait, what?
Roy, you're confusing Paul Rudd with the drummer from AC/DC, Phil Rudd.
Yeah. It happens. You're not the first to do
that. No, I ain't. I know who I'm talking to. It's
Yeah, you know who you're talking to.
I sure do.
So you have a question for Paul Rudd?
I sure do. Oh wait, I dropped my pencil.
Oh.
Hang on.
What is that old? That old dial-up?
Oh, hang on. I think I almost found it. Hang on.
Do you have a question?
Oh, I just sure do, yeah. Mr. Rudd, I wanted to know how you enjoyed making your new Netflix program, Hot American Sweatshop. Wait, no. What's it called?
Oh, Wet Hot American Summer, yeah. Yeah, we did a Netflix show. Of the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great, Roy. I had a great time doing it. I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen little bits of it, and it's very funny. And if you like the movie, I think you'd like the show.
Oh, well, I look forward to seeing it. Also, when can we expect you to reprise your role as Kenny Chin in A Question of Ethics?
Oh, boy. I have been asked that question never. No one's ever asked me that question. And you know your stuff.
I sure do. What about you think we'll ever get a part two of The Size of Watermelons?
I have been trying to get that going for over 20 years and no luck. No investors, no interest. Nobody wants
to. That sucks.
I agree.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah. All right. So those are some pretty solid questions there, Roy.
Were you you're fan? You're a fan of that movie, Roy? Size of Watermelons.
Well, yeah. Also, it's recently come to my attention that you're from Passaic, New Jersey. Yes.
Well, yeah. I was born there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you. One of my favorite Blue Oyster Cult bootlegs is from July 12, 1975 at the Capitol Theater in Passaic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping you could answer a question for me.
Sure.
The tape I have of that show, it starts with OD'd on Life Itself.
Right.
But I know they was opening with Stairway to the Stars on that tour. Can you give me a definitive answer on that?
I really don't know. I couldn't even begin to guess why that is or what that is. I was very, very young when that show happened. And
yeah, it's 1975, Roy.
Well, how old is this guy?
Well, he's not.
He was making movies back in the early 90s.
Yeah, so that does not track for him to be at a show at the Capitol Theater in 75.
Maybe you don't track to me.
Okay, that's weirdly.
I zung it right back in your face.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Well.
Tom.
Yeah?
I think I speak for all the listeners out here when I say this guest is a major disappointment.
We did a thing last week on the show where we had a lawyer on the show who was, presenting things from movies where we're saying, like, hey, what would the real life crime that this person committed in this be? Like, what would, like, Ferris Bueller, like, what did he do? Well, he stole a car. And he did this, he did that, and then the lawyer was like, yeah, he'd be looking at, 12 years in jail, so for all these things.
Uh-huh.
One movie that got brought up was School of Rock got brought up.
Yeah.
In terms of, now get a load of this, if your character was a Dewey was the character from that?
Yeah, Dewey Finn.
He would have been charged with false pretense. and first-degree kidnapping.
Oh, yeah.
And the lawyer said, what do you think the sentence would be for your character for that movie?
Death penalty.
Well, very close. The lawyer said, literally, life in jail. You would be, your character would have been in jail for life for kidnapping a classroom full of children and taking them off campus. Different angle on the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they really let me off with a slap on the wrist.
Because the kid sounded...
I don't know how I got out of that tight situation.
It's because the kid sounded good.
I had to rock my way out of a tight situation.
If the kids were terrible, you would have been in jail for life. If, like, you were not good at rock, then they would have been, they would have thrown the book at you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my God.
So.
That's a good factoid.
We never did the Black Whopper,
have you
Mike.
Eaten the Black Whopper?
No. We didn't do the Black Whopper.
Is it still on the market?
I almost ran out tonight to see if.
I thought maybe that double Chipotle thing was out there.
I'll buy you one. Tonight, next week, it'll be a Black Whopper.
Next week, tomorrow.
Green
tomorrow.
Whopper.
Yeah, the green one.
It's kind of green and black. Just eat it.
Yeah.
You're better off not have eaten the Black Whopper.
Yeah.
There's only so far. We're not doing a morning zoo here. Hey, we got AP Mike's about to, hey, why don't you dig into that Black Whopper?
Just eat it, Mike.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, huh?
You guys are crazy.
Oh. This guy's going to barf. Look at him. He's going to barf.
Ugh, I don't feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew he would. What an idiot. He ate the Black
Whopper. He totally ate the Black
soundboard, he got it. The soundboard.
What a moron. Yeah, baby. Yeah, look at him. He's eating the Black Whopper. What a moron.
We should do the whole half hour like this.
I can't believe he's eating it. So stupid.
Oh, look at him.
I got to work on
idiot.
My radio voice.
Yeah.
He's more like a radio guy.
Yeah. Are you eating that Black Whopper? Yeah, look at him. Yeah, we'll be back. We're going to do sports right now. We got
I'll be in the bathroom.
Yeah.
What a clown's eat.
Hi.
It's Black Whopper.
There's one grocery store in town.
Hey, shut up and eat that Black Whopper.
Yeah, we got that idiot from the Clown Motel checking in right now. He's eating a Black Whopper. Just
have you tried it?
Yeah. Hey, stupid, you ever eat a Black Whopper? This will all make sense when you hear the show. This is out of context right now, and you think I'm calling you stupid. But we're
what
talking.
A dummy.
We're talking like it's a morning.
Who was the real clown in the Clown Motel?
Oh,
yeah. AP Mike is checking
guys.
In. We got AP Mike going back to the Clown Motel.
You're thinking of McDonald's.
He's going back in for a Black Whopper. We got him wired. AP Mike's at the drive-thru, getting the Black Whopper. Look at him. He's eating it. What a dope. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Well, who's this?
Hey, I'm a singer. My name is Robert Kirby. I'm an older guy, but I go by the name of Avalanche Bob 33. I have created a whole new music around snowboarding. I have updated the yodel to the year 21st century, and it's completely different from anything out there today. And I thought Kid Chris and WBEN Radio in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
He's played my music on the air.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Jamaica, Queens.
Okay. And what's your name again?
My name is Robert Creed, but I go by the name of Avalanche Bob 33, and I'm getting a new band together now. We're going to call it Avalanche and the Avalanche Bob and the Snowboard Moguls, and we hope to get in a club in New York. I've already talked to a guy, and it's pretty exciting. And I just thought I'd give you a call and see, you know, if you could help me in some way, you know?
Avalanche Bob 33.
Right.
And your music
and
is what?
Too.
Your music
AvalancheBob33.com.
AvalancheBob33.com. That's the website.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The first music I got in there is not the best because I don't have a lot of money, but the music I hope to get in the future is really going to be sensational because I'm not liking it. I'm something called Yodel and Punk. I updated the Yodel.
And how would you describe your like, who does it sound like?
It's a whole, I'm not nobody. I don't sound like, like Elvis says, I don't sound like nobody.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like anybody else in the biz.
Anybody anywhere, no. You want to hear a little bit of yodeling punk?
I would love to hear some.
That's yodeling punk. And then the snowboard music is around that. One of the snowboard songs go like, punk and snow, everywhere you go, they're punk in the snow. Rolling it over on a shotgun roll, everywhere you go, they're punk in the snow. People in Chicago, bopping the daily bop, bopping the daily bop. People in Chicago, are you ready up in the daily bop, bopping the daily bop. People in Boston, are you ready up in the daily bop, bop. People in New York City, are you ready up in the daily bop, bopping the daily bop. Like I did the punk, like I did the bop, bop, daily, yeah, punk in the snow. That's one of my snowboard songs.
Are you a snowboarder, Bob?
No, I just love this. I got this idea. Originally, I wrote the music around skiing. Then the snowboarding came along. I created the whole new music around snowboarding. It's completely different than anything out there today. And somebody told me this could be the biggest thing since the surfing music of the 70s or 60s. And I've got, you know, pretty good things, you know.
And, like, where have you played, Bob? Like, what kind of...
Where have I played? I'll tell you, it's a long story. For a long time, I had to give my music. My sister was sick. I had to take care of her. And I played in different clubs and stuff. I played in New York in different places. I just did a show a couple of weeks ago in Room 53, where I hope to get this music in with my band and a couple of other bands doing snowboard music. And it looks pretty exciting, and the guy really likes me there, and he thought I was terrific. What I did, my manager passed away. His name was Joe Franklin, and Joe got me on Jimmy Kimmel Show years back, and I was supposed to go back with Sean White, the snowboarder, but it never happened because the guy that the show that got me on. And
not the Joe Franklin.
You know, you've heard of Joe Franklin?
The talk show host?
Yeah, that's the guy. He was 100,000 behind my music, yeah.
He was your manager?
Yeah, he acted like a manager for me, yeah. And he was the thing is, before he passed away, I was supposed to sign a major contract, and then he passed away, and I never got to go with the people I was supposed to go with.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
I would love to hear more of your music, Avalanche.
Great.
Bob.
Yeah. Want to hear some more?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Do you have like full band versions of these things, or are they just you?
No, I got a new band together now. We're going to start playing, start rehearsing next week. But the music I got now is on the AvalancheBob33.com. My Christmas song is on there, Jingle Bell Yodel, which WCBS FM played a couple of years back, and I have my other snowboard music on there. Yeah.
Now, when CBS FM played it, was it like a part of the news or like the music?
At that time, they were very open. They were playing everything. Broadway Bill Lee played my song. They loved it. He loved the song, and I got a lot of reaction. I went back to America as talent. I got on the show, and they ran out of time. So that's the story. I've got been close for a lot of times, and a lot of things have gone wrong, you know?
Well, look, all you can do, Bob, is to just, you hang in there, you do it, and you love the music, right? You love making the music.
Right, right.
So you do it for the love of the music.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When you get some recordings down, and you got something for me to play, drop me a line. And we'll check it out.
Okay. If you want to check out my website and give me a call, you know, 718.
Okay. Don't give your number. No, don't give your number over the show. Don't give your number over the air. Don't give your number.
If you want to contact me, it's avalanchebob33.com, and that's my website, avalanchebob33.com. My website is robert.cribby@yahoo.com.
Okay, so people can check you out, but they go to avalanchebob33.com.
Yeah, that's where you find my music. And then my email address is robert.cribby@yahoo.com.
Okay, people can check it out. And Bob, I look forward to hearing some of your stuff.
Great. Okay. Thanks a lot, man.
You have a great night.
You too, man. Keep rocking.
You too.
So far, so good.
Yeah. Big names this year.
Big names.
Paul Rudd, Jack Black, and then Avalanche Bob.
And that Avalanche Bob call, first off, he needs to call back. It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, he was running hot. He was running hot.
He was running hot.
And I, you know, I tried to talk him down. I was like, you know, we love you, Avalanche Bob. You know, I'm rooting for you. But you're running hot. He reminded me a little bit of an old-time caller, Stevie Blue. Remember old Stevie Blue?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
He was an interesting person and scared the hell out of me one time when he finally showed up in the studio and informed me that he was just back from a court hearing about domestic issues. And I'm like, okay, let's not mention that on the air when you talk to Tom. So that was, Avalanche Bob, you know.
The part of that call that always got me, too, is the fact that someone died, and then he got invited to play somewhere, and then they ran out of time.
Yeah. It's a classic, you know. He didn't get his breaks. He didn't get the breaks, you know? So that's the way showbiz is, right?
That's showbiz in a nutshell.
People don't get the breaks.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's all luck.
Oh. Before that, we heard Black Whopper. That comes from a Half Hour of Power episode. Actually, let me see if I can tell you the exact date. I can't. I didn't write it down. Cool, but it's in there, and it's fantastic. I did want to include some Half Hour Power clips in here because...
Yeah, people love it.
A lot of great stuff has happened throughout that. Before that, Jack Black talking a little bit about showbiz crimes. Mm-hmm. And Philly Boy Roy with Paul Rudd, and then that set started with the infamous Patti Smith story.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. So, let me move that to there. So, I think we're just going to go... It might be good just to put this here. Give me one second.
You've got the control, Jason.
I have the control. And it might be good to have a song here, and it might be good to have a song by the one and only AP Mike.
Oh, okay.
And this was a big year for you creatively.
Well, yeah, I mean, every once in a while I get a goofy idea, and I, you know, this one just came out of the blue. People kept criticizing this Sunkill Moon character, and I didn't even really know his music, you know, so I was like, I looked into it, and I listened to it, and I noticed, like, lots of his songs were about... people, not even really close people that died, but, you know, he was able to turn their deaths into a song.
When he's not, like, talking smack about people or slandering people.
Well, yeah, I mean, he there were lots of stories about what a curmudgeon he was and, you know, a crank.
Right.
And didn't seem to have much of a sense of humor, so I was like, oh, this would be a good guy to goof on, even though I don't know him that well or know his music that well. But I listened to one of his albums, and I was, you know... I sat down with a piece of paper during watching a Mets game, and I came up with the lyrics. And then I got in touch with Jesse Elsener, who, you know, I didn't really know him. But if I have one super fan, it would be Jesse Elsener, you know. And I knew he was a musical guy.
Right.
And so I got in touch with him, and we worked it out, and, you know, people enjoyed it.
Pat, what was your first reaction when you heard Michael Perry?
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't tell if you said Pat or Matt. I wasn't sure if there was a Matt that walked in.
Matt, tell us. No.
I thought it was great. I mean, I think we all are rooting for Mike in 2016 to take over, you know, the world.
Take over the world. I thought you were going to say the best show at first. And I was just like, Tom's not going to like any of this.
No. The world. At large.
The world at large with a book, please.
Yeah. Well, we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah. He's the unpublished great author of the country, I think, of maybe the world, too.
So we're going to do Michael Perry and Tom's reaction into one of the tracks that you selected. Pat, if you want to intro that as well, this is the one you specifically said, let me intro this one.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this was on my birthday of 2015, May 19th. And, you know, a lot of people on the best show kind of forgot, and it's okay, guys. But next year, just mark it down.
Wait, what was it again?
May 15th?
May 15th.
May 19th.
Oh, May, okay.
May 19th.
May 19th. Yeah. That's my father's birthday. Yeah, that should be easy to remember.
Really? We're too busy celebrating Mike's dad's birthday.
That's all right. That's all right. Same day as Joey Ramone and Malcolm X. It's an easy one. Anyway, but my gift that day was Tom doing every Harry Shearer character from memory.
Yes.
On The Simpsons. That was one of my favorite things from this year.
Man, that was great.
And it happened on my birthday, and it was one of the greatest gifts.
So we're going to hear Michael Perry and Tom's reaction first into that, and many, many other gems. If you have friends that have never heard The Best Show before, this is definitely an episode to bring them in on.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them to start listening right now. We still have 2 hours of bits and bests from... Mike didn't like that. He made a face when I said bits and bests. You should have seen it.
No, you sound so professional. You know, I mean, I'm impressed with your radio command.
Come on down to the motor mile. We're going to be out there from 3 until 6 handing out hot dogs and 30% off of any vehicle you want.
I mean, that's professional.
It is.
Sarsaparilla.
You know?
That's the sarsaparilla in my voice. So here it is, one of the great clips and a great song that you can get at apmike.bandcamp.com. Here's Michael Perry and Tom's reaction.
Get it.
Michael Perry died in a freak accident last week. Drove his car through the front of 7-Eleven. No one else was injured, but he took out the slurping machine. A large display of Lay's potato chips. My mother called to give me the news. I hadn't heard his name in 4 years. Michael Perry was a kid from the neighborhood. We hung out together when we were young. Mother was from Portugal. I found this quite exotic. His father was my hard-nosed little league coach. He made me wear a cup in every game. Frankly, Michael Perry scared me a little bit. Even at that early age, he struck me as sincerely hell-bent. My brother and I used to go to his house to play the board game Masterpiece. When we weren't looking, Michael Perry would hide the dice. And when we asked where they were, he would spit them out of his mouth. I remember Michael Perry showing us a Dennis the Menace coloring book. Every character he had drawn a penis. Even Mrs. Mitchell and Mrs. Wilson. And this made him laugh uncontrollably. Michael Perry taught me about the birds and the bees. He shouted to me from across the street. You came out of your mother's seat. I can remember it to this day. Drove to Florida for the funeral. I'm not even sure why. I signed the guest book and grabbed a prayer card. Someone had drawn a penis on it. That's when I knew the spirit of Michael Perry was still alive. In a drawing of a penis on our Lord and Redeemer Jesus Christ. Michael Perry was still alive in a drawing of a penis on our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Any comments?
Get out of here. Get out. Get out. You're done. It's your final episode of the show. So goodbye. The end of AP Mike. You all heard it. That's his outro music. He's done. He had a good run. What is he thinking? It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Volunteered that. And now my thing sounds different. My mic sounds different. He did something. Got in my head. Oh, I know what it was. I'm wearing the headphone on both ears. That's not how Tommy wears headphones. Gotta say, never heard anything like that. Right now, Jandek is throwing his inventory into a dumpster. He's been invalidated. AP Mike, the new Jandek. Jandek of Bayonne. Bayonne deck. Yeah, Sunkill Chiku, somebody just put up. Oh, unbelievable. Weren't we on a good roll with a fun show talking all about things, and then now we're all upset by AP Mike? What I'm going to just identify, I guess I'm going to, I don't even know what do you call that? That was like a, is that a cry for help, Mike? What's that? He's saying something about he's standing in the rain. I don't even know what he's talking about. God bless him. God bless him. Guy's an artist. I tell you. He made something. He made something. He did it. Guy put his money where his mouth. Well, he didn't put any money. There's no... I hope that song didn't cost money. Replace Harry as this hashtag. Let's do that as a hashtag. Replace Harry, right? Because I'm going to run this guy out of business, this Harry Shearer. So, if anybody's got a... help me with this, Z-Man. What's a voice that he does on The Simpsons?
Flanders.
So, okay, let's do one at a time.
Okay.
Flanders, that's Mr. Burns' assistant, right?
No, that's Smithers. Flanders is the neighbor.
Oh, Flanders is the neighbor. Well, hardly ho there, neighbor. How's it going there, right? Hey there, Homer. Oh, right? Isn't that like what he does?
If I were Al, geez, oh, he'd be hired.
Oh, geez, Rod and Todd, why don't we go to church? Hardly ho, right?
You got the job as far as I'm concerned.
Look, that's the first time I've ever even tried to do that dumb voice, and I'm 90% of the way there. So we got that one. Mark that and pull it as a clip for my reel. Who else is there?
Principal Skinner.
Well, you have to see here. Bart Simpson, you did it again. You trashed the boys' locker room. Bart, get in here.
Right?
Good.
That's not bad. Again, 80% there. First time I'm trying. Who else?
Burns. Mr. Burns.
Well, let's see here, Simpson. Excellent. Okay, we got that one. There's three. What else?
Smithers. He also knows Smithers.
Smithers? What's Smithers' voice? He's like,
Mr. Burns, the thing we have to do here is, you know Homer Simpson. He's the guy who you fired 8 times. Right?
Yep.
Okay, not too far off target. Maybe a listener plugs that one in. Who else?
Kent Brockman, the newscaster.
Kent Brockman, the newscaster. Right? That's
my 2 cents.
Right? What is it? He's like, what is that? Help me with that one. What is that? He's like, give me something he'd say.
Today in Springfield News. I don't know.
Today in Springfield News.
Maybe we'll... A listener can do Kent Brockman.
Okay.
I'll throw a listener three. We get the gig, you get $300. We'll just patch you. We'll just come to the studio. You just patch us in. Okay. Kent Brockman's up for a listener. If you think you can do Kent Brockman, you call 201-332-3484. I'll put you on the list. Who else?
I'm running out of ideas, but I feel like I've overstayed my welcome.
No. You're helping me with this, Z-Man, Zach. You're helping me. Who else does Harry Shearer do on The Simpsons? What other characters?
I mean, he does the music teacher, Mr. Largo, but he doesn't talk much, I don't think. Lenny? They have Homer's friend who works at the plant and goes to the bar.
Oh, hey there, Homer. Well, we're going,
with Lenny and who? What's the other one?
Carl?
Yeah, me and Carl are going back to we're going over to Moe's. You coming with us?
All right, 75% there on that one. Who else?
I'm trying to look it up now because I'm running out of the big ones.
Yeah, you're helping me, Zach. I'll throw you a hundred bucks for every episode I do for this. You put it for your kid's college fund.
I'm still waiting until she's old enough to get hung up on.
No, that'll take 3 weeks. Don't worry, I'll hang up on a baby. I don't care.
I'm not gonna have a baby call in though.
You should. It'll be a rite of passage. Right?
McBain, Rainer Wolfcastle.
You listen here. I am Rainer Wolfcastle. McBain.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
We got that one. Who else? Who else?
Dr. Hibbert.
Oh, Homer Simpson.
Right?
Yeah. Jasper.
Looks like you got a knife stuck in you.
Okay. Who else?
Jasper.
Who? Jasper? Who's Jasper?
With the long beard, the old man, Grandpa's friend.
Yeah, what's going on there, Grandpa? Abe Simpson, you did it again. You messed up. You got me thrown out of the cafeteria at the nursing home.
Who else?
Reverend Lovejoy.
We are all gathered here today to pray for the people of Springfield.
Okay.
Okay, Otto?
Hey, we're going to drive the bus.
Right? Okay. Yeah. This guy's out of a job. I'm sorry. We're running this guy out.
I think you made the decision for everybody now. Herman, with the one arm, who runs the antique store.
What's he like? He's like, hey, you listen to me. He's like the guy from Falling Down where he's like,
think about it.
Like, right? Like,
yeah, I wanted to show you something in the back room. You see this? It's a can of Zyklon B.
But I don't know if they're doing that on, that was like from Falling Down. I think that character's based on. So who else? A listener can field that one. We'll put Herman up. So far, Herman and Kent Brockman, listeners can lay claim to.
Yeah, the rest it starts to get more obscure. Like the music teacher and Apu's brother and
we got this figured out.
Nelson's father.
Do you know anyone over at Fox, Zach?
Me, no. I don't think I do.
We can do this. Let's run him out, right? Because the guy's a 5-star load, Harry Shearer, by all accounts.
Well, if anyone can do it, you can.
Let's give him all the free time. Hey, this guy, he didn't negotiate in public. And look, again, I side with the performer every time. 10 times out of 10, I'm with the performer. Not with the corporation. What am I, Jay Leno, company man? No. But this guy deserves to get run out of the show, right? We'll run him out. Who's going to get me? I'll get a listener to do Kent Brockman. I get a listener to do Herman. And then we're in the clear. I'll throw you $300. I'll throw you $100 for helping me with this.
All right, I'm in.
What was the hashtag again? Replace Harry.
That's what it looks like.
Run this bum out, right? Run him out. Sure.
He's already gone.
Yeah, he's gone already. Now we just showed him the door.
Yeah. And I was listening to the music one, and they had a syndicated program, and Roger Hodgson from Supertramp was the guest.
Really?
Yes, the newest addition to the Hate Pit.
The guy from Supertramp.
Yeah, the guy who wrote his own Wikipedia article.
Which NPR? You have three NPR stations down there?
We have three NPR stations, yeah. We have 89.3, which is talk.
Okay.
91.9, which is music. And 90.5, which is classical music. I was listening to 91.9.
What time was this?
Want to say about 6:30. It was, about 6:30.
Okay. What was on? What show was it?
It's a World Cafe.
Okay. Do you listen to that regularly?
I didn't know if I should be saying this, but yeah, it was it's a regular show that's on.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of talking, he was talking about how bad company,
back in the night. Oh. There we go.
Was just like a nice guy all around. Mm-hmm. He wasn't intimidating to talk to, so that was pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was just so he just came in, started with, like you said, it was him and his girlfriend, and then his bodyguard and his. How did you even know it was his bodyguard's girlfriend?
I don't know. I'm just assuming it was his bodyguard's girlfriend.
And they just sat there. You brought him. It sounds like you served him for a while, though.
Yeah, he was a really. He had a full course meal.
And
that's the whole deal.
Expensive wine. But yeah, then he just split all of a sudden.
He just split all of a sudden. I bust the table. But he came back, smelling like a bright with smoke. But he didn't, it's why they call me.
No, I'm just saying, I hate Lynyrd Skynyrd, but that's one of the few songs that I really like. Mm-hmm. And, give it a shot, for sure.
All right. Are there any other Lynyrd Skynyrd songs I should check out? Is that the only
one? Yeah, Tuesday's Gone. That's the only other one that I think is good.
Tuesday's Gone. What is that? How's that go?
Check it out. It's Tuesday's Gone with the Wind.
Okay.
Check it out. No, seriously, you would like it, I think.
All right.
I feel like I know you.
Well, is there a single best Rush album I should check out?
Well, everyone would say Moving Pictures, but I think you should check out Permanent Waves.
Why that?
I kind of feel like I'm going to get...
Due to pipe corrosion in the basement, it is considered as a serious danger. A lot of exclamation marks. Action. Landlord must fix all pipes before gas company will turn it back on. Laundry not working, also due to leaking pipes. Water is turned off. Don't waste your money. Update. Landlord is on vacation in Cuba. No idea when he will return. That's all in caps and there's an exclamation mark at the end.
And when was this posted?
This was posted about a week ago.
And has it been resolved?
Well, they sort of did like a temporary fix, apparently, and now they're doing more serious work, which I suppose is supposed to make us feel better, but then I actually saw them taking out some of the old hot water tanks today, and when you see those photos of like what Chernobyl looked like 10 years after...
Is that Mike? Okay.
Now, everything, what do you got? Any projects on the. Well, first of all.
Wait, whose show is this?
That's right, you interview me.
What is laughter?
Well, the main thing is that.
And when will you ever provide any of it?
Laughter. You know, the thing about it, Larry.
Oh, boy.
I'm a comics comic, Gary. Like, a lot of people don't get my act because my act is not main. It's not, you know, it's not a tallergy, a regular mainstream squirrel.
Yeah, no, you're a comics comic.
Like, I might do a Rocky J. Squirrel reference.
Yeah.
I'm inside.
And Wendell Willkie.
Yeah, and so not every, I'm not for everybody's taste. I'm not a crowd pleaser like you are. I won't go down to the level of the crowd. Literally, you go down to the level of the crowd. You're at their shoe level.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. Now you.
You just got Kindlered, Gary.
Just got Kindlered.
2015.
It's untreatable. That's a problem with that.
The Iron Maiden airplane.
Yeah, so you've seen the documentary, Death on the Road?
I have.
I knew it.
It's pretty exciting. Wait.
What?
What did you just do, Bruce?
Nothing.
No, I think I heard what you did.
I vaped.
You vaped? You're vaping?
Yeah, it's a vape bong.
A vape bong.
A bape.
A bape?
Yeah. It's a bong that's a vape.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's a first time for everything, right? For you
really
learn about it.
Relaxes me, takes the edge off.
You feeling a lot of tension lately?
I was, you know, but I'm not right now. But, you know, we're all getting ready to watch last night's Better Call Saul.
You and the E Street Band?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You see it?
I didn't see last night's, no.
It's supposed to be really good. I like what they're doing. I don't know if... Are you into that?
I like the show, yeah.
I gotta say, though, man, the best thing Odenkirk ever did...
Yeah?
Do you remember this one episode of Mr. Show? It was one tiny little sketch where he and Cross are driving, and David is telling him that he's really sick,
mm-hmm.
and Odenkirk goes, "Oh man!" And David thinks that he's upset also because mm-hmm. David's sick, and then Odenkirk goes, "Oh man." My wife has been on my ass all week to bring home this magazine.
I remember that.
I think that's the second funniest thing I've ever heard.
And what's the funniest thing?
Have you seen Vacation?
The movie Vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yes, there's this one scene.
Do you call it National Lampoon's Vacation?
I sure do. I show it the full amount of respect, as should you.
Okay.
But you don't, do you?
I just did call it that.
That's a good man. Anyway, there's this...
I never thought you'd call... This is a weird moment.
What?
I never thought... The idea of you calling me a good man, the idea that Bruce Springsteen would say, "You're a good man, Tom," was... That's the kind of thing you can only dream of happening. But I never thought it would happen... Under these circumstances, where I'm a good man because I'm saying the full name of the movie National Lampoon's Vacation.
Like I say in the song Born to Run, life is full of weirdly odd twists and turns, my man.
That's from the song Born to Run?
It sure is.
Are there two different Born to Runs? Because no. I don't know if that's in the one I know.
Yeah, it's right after the line about strapping my hands across your engines. They made me change it to the other way.
That life is a series of twists and turns, my man?
Yeah, no, they made me change it where I tell the rider to strap their hands across my engines.
Mm-hmm.
I had it the other way around. They said it was too erotic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Bruce, you were saying about National Lampoon's Vacation...
Oh, yes, the line in question. Chevy Chase goes into this campground to rent some tents,
mm-hmm.
and Brian Doyle Murray asks him for his address.
Yeah.
And Chevy Chase goes, "Why do I need to give you my address?" And Brian Doyle Murray goes, "Well, I guess I don't know."
Well, it sounds like he's eating something the way you just did that impression.
He's eating watermelon.
Okay.
Crack the movie much? It don't sound like you do.
Well, I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay, well, that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm. So, Bruce.
Yes.
Boss. I guess, can I call you boss?
Oh, please don't call me that.
Uh-huh. You don't like that?
No.
Okay.
I like it when the ladies call me that.
Ugh.
Oh, man. I knew that was wrong as soon as I heard it coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, it didn't sound right, did it?
No.
So, Bruce, what's you're rehearsing, you said?
Right.
And you just decided to call up?
Well, I wanted to learn that song, and we can't find it nowhere. So I thought, who would know it other... you'd be the first person to know it because you're so well-versed in music.
Oh, well, that's flattering of you to say.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. I love the show.
Oh, thank you.
It was fun to talk to Mike for an hour.
You talked to Mike for an hour?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What were you guys talking about?
Everything.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, all kinds of philosophical things. Geez, everything from, you know, nuclear fission to Marat.
Wow, that's a pretty well-rounded conversation.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a...
But in the interim, I last time we talked, you wanted Harry Morgan stories, and I thought of one off the top of my head. Mm. But then later, I gave it some thought, and there's one that's really pretty funny that I'd share with you if you have
time. I would love it. I would love it.
So, you know, when my dad became a contract player at Fox, 70 or 80% of the movies produced were Westerns. And the same was true at Universal, where I worked for a number of years. You know, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, Westerns were guaranteed hits, and other pictures were more dubious, kind of like action hero things today. But there are a lot of actors, I think almost all actors, did not know how to ride horses. Gary Cooper apparently did because he grew up on a ranch. But my dad had never been near a horse, and you might remember that on MASH they had pictures of horses on his desk.
Yes.
And those were the horses that he raised in Santa Rosa, quarter horses. And we had that place in Santa Rosa for 40 years, and I went there all the time with my dad, and we had these horses, which I would ride from time to time. But my dad never got on a horse, and I kept trying to get him to do it so we could ride together. And he said, no, I've never been on a horse, and I don't want to start now. And, you know, when you're young and you fall off, you jump and get back on. But when you're older, it's harder. So he's doing this Jimmy Stewart movie, and he did a bunch of Jimmy Stewart Westerns. Jimmy Stewart basically told producers that my dad had to be in the Westerns, which was great news, and my dad really appreciated it. And in this one, Stewart and a couple of the good townspeople decide that they've got to get rid of all these little bands of bandits that are hanging around. And my dad's group of three was one of these. So the scene begins with somebody's, you know, pushing my dad out of a saloon door. And on the platform, there are a couple of other guys that are his henchmen. And he goes, well, you can't fight the whole town. And then he gets to the end of the platform and gets on top of a horse. And when he did this, the horse turned around. And I've ridden enough horses to know that's a common reaction. It's kind of like a way to tell the rider that this ain't going to be easy. So what you do is you get off the horse, and the trainer beats the animal up in those days. And then you do the scene all over again. And they did it again, and the horse did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, can't fight the whole town. And finally, they did it a third time. My dad comes bursting out of the saloon doors. He says to his henchmen, well, come on, men. You can't fight the whole town. Gets on the horse. The horse does the turnaround thing. My dad jumps off, gets back on the platform, and says, fuck it. Let's fight them.
There we go. And the barrier has been broken. AP Mike. Mike. I can't. We generally don't. It's generally a pretty... I can't.
You know, Ralph Bellamy in his autobiography repeated that story,
okay.
And he cleaned it up for just the way I guess you'd like to for radio. So
sure,
my dad is
just
saying,
the way
oh, the hell with it.
You've heard.
Doesn't carry the same punch, you know?
Yeah, well... Oh. I'm speechless now. We usually keep it... It's usually family friendly here, Charlie. But you
oh,
got me.
I'm sorry. I'll
That's all right. No, you know what? You got me. It was fair and square. That was worth it. That was worth it. That'll come out of Mike's pay, of course. for the swear jar, Mike. I'm gonna dock Mike's pay, and I'm gonna delete this thing Mike sent me.
And that was Michael Perry that he sent you, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it was the same show.
Charlie Morgan, and that was the first F-bomb of the brand new Best Show.
It was, yeah.
Okay. That was the official first one.
Okay. Well, that's sort of a nice little memorial. I mean,
yeah.
Who knew Charlie Morgan, son of Harry Morgan, would ever call the Best Show? It's one of those wild surprises. You know, you never know who's going to call the show. And he originally called to clear up the fact that he wasn't Thomas Pynchon,
right?
In Inherent Vice, and now
but he was an extra in Inherent Vice, correct?
Yeah, he was an extra,
right?
But there was, you know, all the internet speculation about, you know, Pynchon doing a cameo in the movie. Some people pointed at him who didn't know him, you know, and so he cleared that up for us, and he's called in a few times, and we've met him.
Yeah.
You know, he did a little collaboration on, you know, a children's story I wrote.
Yeah. He came out when Tom did the Bridge and Tunnel Get Real for New York Sketch Fest.
Yeah, he happened to be in town. And, yeah, it was great to meet him and his wife and his daughter and son-in-law. And yeah, it was a nice get-together.
Very cool. Pat, how are you?
Is he still there?
Pat. Good, I'm here. Sorry. I'm
there you are.
I'm good. Yeah, I had myself on mute.
Uh-huh. Pat's like an ether, you know? He's kind of like, is he
there?
Yeah, there he is.
He arrives.
Uh-huh.
Before that...
I apologize.
No worries. So before that, we heard Bruce from Rumson, a Bruce Springsteen Worcester call.
Yeah.
Gary and Andy Kindler from the one-on-one with Gary the Squirrel. That was just two episodes. Hopefully we'll get more episodes in 2016.
Yeah.
Hoping for that, yes.
Yeah. A Bad Company montage.
Oh, that was nice.
That was so much fun to make.
Well done. Thank you. It's always funny.
Yeah, always funny. And before that, we heard Tom replacing Harry Shearer, and of course, Michael Perry and Tom's reaction.
Yeah.
He totally nailed it.
He nailed every voice. Yeah. Every single voice.
I think he even had Brockman. He wanted to not give himself credit for that, but if you listen back, he really had it, like, on first, like, when he asked for a more specific line, that's when he sort of, you know, then he didn't believe it, but he actually had it, I think, right
Completely.
Away.
Completely. Yeah. So we have so much to get through. I think we should probably just pop back into it, but you can give us a call, 201-332-3484. I don't promise that we'll get you on the air, but if you do have a specific Best Show memory of 2015 that you want to, you know, chat about, you can give us a call. And also
tweet at us.
Yes. The hashtag is at Best Show, hashtag Best Show 2015. Let us know what you think so far. There's can't really edit the show. It's already in place, but we can always pull some clips from for another edition of this down the road. So one of the greatest Sharpling and Worcester calls of 2015, probably the greatest.
Yeah, I would say it's got to be up there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's the one that everyone talks about. It's one everyone freaked out about
when
it was on the air.
And, I mean, there was so much production in it you could hear, and, yeah, it was phenomenal.
So this isn't the entire call, because the entire call is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So we want you to go to thebestshow.net.
Yeah.
And download.
It's a teaser.
This is a teaser, but it's still a mighty long teaser. And, of course, we're talking about the New Bridge Wall.
I would think you know me long enough to know there's no way in hell I'm playing that on the show tonight.
Oh, I know.
Oh, what do you mean, I know?
Well, I knew you'd be too shy to play it yourself, so I'm going to play it.
Uh-huh. Well, no. There's no way I'm letting you play it over the phone.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to play it over the phone. I'm going to play it over the Best Show soundboard. Why?
Wait, what? What? You're going to play it? How could you play it over the Best Show soundboard?
Playlist Enforcer.
Playlist Enforcer. What is Playlist Enforcer?
Oh, you don't know about this?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's this great new app that Kern Digifund just came out with.
it allows you to override someone else's iPod or stereo system and play the cool music of your choice on those things. It comes with those new Beats by Kern headphones that everyone's buying.
Yeah, well, Darren, I just got to say, there's no way I'm going to let you play this over these airwaves for the show. I mean, I have not heard that stuff in 30 years, and we're not going to... Wait, what is that?
We don't need no social studies. We don't need no algebra. No lunchroom monitors in the lunchroom.
Being great, but I don't remember it being that great.
Oh, that was...
My God. What a band we were, right? I mean, you on bass, me on drums and vocals, Brian Dennis on guitar, and that Burmese exchange student Tram Doc Norpel on sax. Oh, I tell you, man, you really stuck it to Rossnagel and Schwarzendruber, didn't you? Do you remember? You were so mad because Mr. Rossnagel... Instead of calling you Sharpling, he'd call you Dulling.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, Darren.
Here's another one.
What?
I'll play another one.
How are you going to... I don't want you to play another one.
No, come on, here it comes. Here it comes. In five.
No.
Four.
This is not going to work.
Three.
It's my board.
Two. One. Can hear me? Is there anyone at home? Come on, Roger, Roger. I know you stole my wacky packages. You've caused me so much pain. Gonna get you when you sleep. Relax, relax, relax. I need some information. Can you tell me where they are? There is some pain you are receiving. You POS smoke on this tire iron. The blows are
my God. I mean.
And you potted. How are you potting it down when you have, how are you, you're controlling the board and then you're
Yeah, Playlist Enforcer allows you to do that. It's great.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But let's talk about the song. Oh my God. It's so much more intense than the original.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, man, you totally nailed that incredibly tense, one-of-a-kind relationship between you and your older brother. Oh, my God. Man, did he know that your Achilles heel was those wacky packages. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And I'll tell you, man, and even though Tram was angry at you for not letting him play sax on that one,
mm-hmm.
his wailing the F out of that vibra slap totally takes that to a new level, right?
Oh, it's just, I can't, I never thought I would hear it again.
I know, right?
Oh.
It's so blessed. Oh, man, wait till you hear this next one.
What?
It's so good.
No,
it's real, it's a total rocker here we go. Five.
No.
Four.
It's not gonna
three,
happen.
Three, two, one. Madness. Oh, my God, Tom, what a rocker that was. Man, I'm sorry to laugh at this, but, oh, my God, did you hate Troy Detweiler? You were so jealous of him when he started dating Winifred Larson.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember? I'm sorry.
Oh, I remember, Darren. I remember
right?
all this.
Oh, my God, I'll tell you, man, you earned massive points with every guy in our school. Because I still can't believe you did this. That you had the stones to throw a balloon full of Pepto-Bismol at Troy Detweiler the moment he was getting his glass picture taken.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't let him take it.
Uh-huh.
And that was the picture. That was the picture they had to use when he was rumored to have been eaten alive by that quad-footed doodle boop
mm-hmm.
in 1985. Remember that when he went into the Newbridge Forest?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I remember all of this. I remember. I just, this is just taking me back, Darren.
It's quite a journey down yeah. memory lane, isn't it?
And I have to say, I'm still thrown by that you are using some software that controls my hard board here in
yeah.
the studio.
It's great, isn't it?
It's not, well, are we done?
Oh, no, no. But you know who was done?
Who?
Brian Dennis, remember that?
Yes.
That was the last recording that he did with us.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I'll never forget the sight of him storming off after you told him he couldn't wear white parachute pants, a purple headband, and those
sleeveless Chess King shirts in our photos anymore because that was your look.
Well, you know, it's hard coming up with a look, and even though that look might not exactly be the coolest look, I thought it was mine, and then he showed up. You know,
it's
Brian
true.
Was dressed just like I.
You were on that motto of Little Stevens even before he said it, right?
If you don't have a look, get one.
That's right. Yeah,
I've always felt that.
I have too. You know what I feel right now?
What?
We got to hear more.
I don't want to hear.
Oh yeah,
more.
Here it comes.
No.
Oh, this might be the best one yet. Five.
No. Well, I just pulled the plug, so it's not going to happen.
Two. Uh-huh. One.
No, it's not happening. Oh, it's happening. Oh no.
Step Uncle, do you think they'll nuke New Bridge? Step Uncle, do you think they'll like our jams? Step Uncle, do you think they'll try to squish my nets? Ooh. Step Uncle, should I build the new bridge wall?
Oh.
I'll tell you, man, that one, I'm not ashamed to admit, that one makes me tear up.
Uh-huh. Oh, it makes
really
me tear
up.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I'm kind of crying over here also.
I don't blame you. You put your heart and soul into that. And I'll tell you, you've done a lot of cool things in your life.
Well, thank you.
But, man, that thing that we just heard, that's the greatest thing you've ever been involved in, Tom.
Oh, hi. I don't think that's true.
I know it's true. You know what else is true?
What?
We were lucky to get a young Dave Sabo to play guitar with us on that one. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, he went on to a great career in Skid Row, but, mm-hmm. You know, we all know where he got his start, right?
Yeah. With us playing our interpretation of The Wall.
We rewrote that thing.
Yeah, we sure did.
Sure. You know what else?
What?
We sure did.
What?
We sure did a whole album. We're going to hear more of it right now.
We're not.
Six. Five.
It's not.
Four.
Please don't happen.
Three.
No, please.
Two.
Please.
One.
No. Oh.
I am just a new boy. Stranger in. Oh,
My God, you were effing killing it on that slap bass, Tom. It's incredible. It's like you were channeling both Flea and Phil Lesh.
He does. He's not just the old man. I know, right? He's currently 74, which means when we started watching him on the show, he was like
42.
We haven't been watching it for 30 years. He was under 70 to be like walking like, oh, yeah, you guys gotta sell Rick, you idiot. You're not selling the thing for enough money. Let's all three of us do the old man impression at the same time. One, two, three. Oh, yeah, we're gonna, you're not selling the thing for enough money. Chumley, you idiot. I told you to sell that Babe Ruth autograph baseball. For
Chumley, handle this arcade game.
Okay, all right. It was my idea. I'm pulling the plug on it. Then I walk over to this Billy on the Street thing. I missed the screening, and I'm watching. I'm going, trying to get into the party, and they're like, oh, you can't. You're not on the list. And then who breezes past me? Oh, Sal from In Practical Jokers. Mike, you should have seen it. It's like, right this way, Sal. Sal from Impractical Jokers breezes past you. You'd think Jack Nicholson was rolling through the way they let Sal from Impractical. Yes, sir, right this way. Sal from Impractical Jokers. And I'm standing outside the thing, and all I said to myself was, please, Julie's in there. Please let her leave. And then you're like, yeah, I'm going to leave. And I'm just like, oh, thank God. I'll hang out with you outside of the party,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, up there, they were all singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow to Sal.
What do they have?
On their shoulders.
Yeah, he was on our shoulders, and he was...
Yeah, what do they have? Weird clearance rights or something, so they say for he's a jolly good fellow.
It was his birthday.
No, it wasn't his birthday. People, it was like the first time I've heard that song, like, as it was meant.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he's just
a celebration.
It's not a public domain issue where they're just like, hey, Sal's here. Oh, Camp Town Races, sing that song. Doo-dah, doo-dah. Right? They're not like, bet my money on a bobtail nag. Oh. Do you think when Stephen Foster wrote that, he'd be like, 130 years from now, this song is just going to be a punchline for free music? Like, my music would just be known only because it's free at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, no one will like it. Mm-hmm. It's free. And what do we do about these Hill sisters? Do we, like, go and reinsert Happy Birthday into everything that
but
it could not
he's
be
a
in?
Jolly good fellow.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that there are outtakes where they did do it and they're like, well, maybe if we can afford it and post, but they couldn't.
And they could because, like, they want 150 grand for this thing. That they should be, like, they're... Whoever was collecting checks on that should be jailed for living so high on the hog like that.
Put it in a basketball pit.
Yeah, put them in the basketball pit. The Hill Sisters.
But like the slowest one ever. So like it's like the first day there's just one ball, and then the second there's two.
And then that would mess with your head. You'd be like,
yeah,
that's 4 days. Four basketballs in here. There's 5 days. There's five basketballs. Oh, no. Are they going to keep dropping one basketball a day? Oh. So they breeze Sal past. And this impractical joke. This is the kind of thing for anybody who hasn't seen this show, basically, it's like candid camera on Staten Island at the Staten Island Mall with an episode consists of this. These four Staten Island dudes hanging out at the Staten Island Mall, saying things like, and they have headsets and they make each other go do things. They're just like, go eat a French fry go grab a French fry from his plate. Like, just like, cause they're like walking around, just like, tell him, you got a cold and sneeze in his face. Like, that's what they do on that show.
And they always go, oh, come on. I don't want to.
Oh,
no, don't make me do that.
Because they're, like, working as, like, cashiers at a grocery store. And they're just like, all right, just say, like, ask this person, tell them you can't sell them any of the stuff. Like, it's that. Mm-hmm. Tell them that's not for sale.
Yeah, none of these are practical.
Then they're just like, this is not for sale. And then everybody on Staten Island's like, is this impractical? Because at this point, there's one television show on Staten Island.
Oh, yeah, you're the most famous person who lives on this island.
Yes. The king of Staten Island. Yes, that would be, the impractical jokers. It would be like another Stallone thing, like Rambo, if you're suddenly just like, you get stuck on Staten Island, and you're just like, the impractical jokers are just like, we don't like your kind around here. You guys don't. You seem pretty practical. I don't know. We're pretty impractical here on Staten Island.
We both like joking around.
Yeah.
Snake Plissken has to escape from
Staten
jail island of Staten Island.
He has to go up against the impractical jokers to get off of Staten Island.
Do you know all four of their names?
Sal.
Mm-hmm. There's one named Rocco.
There's not. No, there's not a Rocco. It's Sal. Mike? I know Sal. Merv?
Like
Frankenstein? Merv. Yeah, like the three wise men? Murr.
Oh, what?
Oh, my
God. Like Murray.
That's right, Murr. Right? Murr. So, Sal, Murr.
As if Murray wasn't enough of, the salt of the earth name.
E? Is there one named E?
E.
Turtle?
Turtle. Murr.
It's not very practical what you're saying, Julie, I have to say.
Exactly.
It's... You might be the first. You might be like the lady joker. What about that? Hey, guys, you know what we need for this upcoming season? A lady joker, right?
A jokerino.
Yeah, exactly.
A jokerina.
Impractical jokers,
jokerina.
Welcome. Welcome's Julie Klausner.
You can't call me that. You call me Klaus.
They welcome. Yeah. The impractical jokers welcome. Just kidding. Julie Klausner. JK. Here she is. Right?
I'm like.
They just call you Jew.
Yeah. Hey, Jew.
They're like, hey, Jew, eat that french fry. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
No.
Come on, fellas. Oh, really? Well, here we go. Is that how I'm supposed to do it?
That is how it would go down on season 8 of Impractical Jokers.
How long has that show been on the air? It's like MASH.
It is like, it's our MASH, yeah. Right? It's like the MASH of true TV, right? One day they're going to be like, the final episode of Impractical Joker. And he'll just be like, it was a baby. He'll be like at the mall, Staten Island Mall. It was a baby. Remember that episode?
Or is that like Sal's in a coma? It was all his dream.
Turned out that Sal
Vietnam.
That Sal, yeah. Sal fell off the upper, like he was like leaning over the railing at the Staten Island Mall, and he fell off the ferry. He dreamt this entire show.
Yeah.
Right? And he comes out of it like, oh! How everybody comes out of everything. They go, oh! Have you ever woken up once? Oh! In like a bad dream? It's always like, what? What's going on? Okay. Oh, okay. All right, it's a dream. Like, it's never, oh, what a bed. Yeah, somebody's saying they'd make you eat a Black Whopper. Hey, Julie, eat that Black Whopper.
Oh, guys. Oh, fellas, come on.
Burger King presents the Impractical Jokers, taking their brand of hilarity to Halloween's, because it's a scary Whopper.
It is.
And do you hear that organ music when it plays the fan?
The burger has like a little greeting card. like
and a cake,
music box.
Like a red tape on it.
The burger. The Phantom of the Burger.
Yeah, and it's behind a keyboard, a little keyboard.
Yeah, like a little burger. A keyboard that is the size that a burger would play. Like if a burger needed to play, it wouldn't play like a full size keyboard. Yeah. It would be smearing its burgers. I'm sure that A1 sauce would
pickles.
Leak out.
It's pickles.
Yeah,
I think pickle, his pickles would be fingers.
The pickle would leak out all over. They need to add an look. People are bothering the impractical jokers on Twitter now, saying, please consider Julie Klausner for the role of for the role of impractical Jokerino.
Seven. You should get a movement, like get to like a salon think piece. Yes. Where they're like, when will there finally be a female impractical Joker?
Yeah.
Rumor has it, it just starts as like a rumor because it's like, you know, Evel Knievel started it when he had
he
to,
would call up he the would, place he wanted up. To be booked and be like. Heard
the Sands. Yeah, was it with the fountain or whatever or the whatever?
I listened to Gary the Squirrel's review.
But the thing he would call up, he would just go like, he would call up as people they'd mangle Evel Knievel's name, but they would also he would call up with these like basically anti-Semitic reporter names, like saying like
right,
you know. Hey, it's Herb Rosenfeld. Like, he's
right.
Just like...
Jew knows
the name. Yeah. And what's the deal with this evil Sneevil or whatever?
Evel Sneevil!
Jump the thing? I don't
imagine
know.
Imagine being this man's wife and be like, what are you doing today? He's like, I'm working! And be like, hi, this is Jewy Nodestein asking about an evil Sneevil. When will you book him?
And then finally... Yeah. Evel Knievel calls.
Yeah.
And he goes,
have there been any calls for me?
It's the dumbest
it's
thing
like
you've ever
Prince
heard.
It's like the Prince Albert in a can joke. It's you know what it is? It's a practical joke.
It's a practical, it's, but it got, it's, he called and he was like, this is Evel Knievel's manager. He's like, I've been hearing you guys are spreading rumors that he's going to be jumping the fountain at this casino. And then he said, and this is from this Lee Montvell book on Evel Knievel. It's one of the greatest books I've ever read. He said, and then he says, we're going to sue you. But, you know, but he says, but look, I also manage Lawrence Welk and I have to go with him on a European tour right now. So what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Evel call you tomorrow and maybe the two of you can sort it out. Like, that's literally what Evel Knievel did when he called. And then the next day he's like, yeah, it's Evel Knievel. My manager told me to call. What is this thing, a jump at the fountain or something? And then they're like, well, people are keep saying you're going to do it. So he's like, so should we do it or what? And then it's like, I'll do it for like 30 grand. And then that's how his career started.
It's amazing.
You remember the House of Cards Christmas episode?
Yeah, what happened to
the president that? Shoved somebody in front of the train. Remember when the president went around murdering everybody? Remember that one when he's just like, what you have to understand,
a snake cannot eat his own tail. And then he'd like murder a prostitute.
I love it. Can't wait for it to come back.
Freddy, what did you do to these ribs?
Oh, what a great character Freddy is. What a rich
backstory.
Rib Smith.
That call must have been great when, like, it's like, oh, yeah, the congressman, he really wants to come in this morning. Can you get there, like, I guess you probably have to get there like 4:30 in the morning and start making ribs so he can eat at 7. Like, he wants to eat before it opens. Yeah. Like, he'll be there at 7:30. So that means.
But the good news is I'll talk to you.
Yeah. So that means you have to get up at 2.
Right.
Get over there. Start making ribs for him all morning.
That was when I stopped watching House of Cards, was when Freddy's rib place was becoming a chain. And I was like, no. This is not a thing you do in season 2 of a show.
What? What if...
it's like, my chain is...
Take this.
Freddie, your ribs could be eaten by people across... That was like...
That's when you were out. Picture this.
Nope. No more.
You're eating at Freddie's rib place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then someone comes over and takes a French fry from your plate. And, but before he does it, he goes, oh, no.
Oh, no, God, come on.
You just
on,
hear it, like, was... you hear from around the corner.
Hey,
oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. Grab a French fry. Grab one of the ribs. Grab one of the ribs from a plate.
Aww.
Oh, come on, guys.
The president. Kill the Impractical Joker for stealing one of his precious ribs.
Yeah. He's eating a rib. Mm-hmm. He's eating ribs. The Impractical Jokers don't know that that is Congressman...
Francis.
They don't know what's... Yeah, Francis Underwood.
Francis.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Hey. Grab a rib off that guy's plate.
I don't want to. Come on, guys. Hey,
you see that bald guy?
Yeah.
In the suit. See that bald guy in the $6,000 suit? Eating ribs at 7 in the morning?
Yeah.
Joke Arena.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I know. Yeah.
Grab a rib off.
No, guy!
What if there was someone in his ear being like, Sal, you see that guy's way midline over there? Go embarrass that guy.
And then the Impractical Jokers are back at home, and then suddenly Doug Stamper shows up at their door. I'd like to talk to you for a minute. He's like,
he's wearing like gloves and he has a wire. Like he has like the kind of wire that you use to take like a big hunk of clay off of
him. Yeah. You mean the Garrett.
The top of a cliver.
The Garrett that Morgan Spurlock used at the Clown Motel.
And that was Tom's pick of his favorite moment of 2015 when Julie Klausner, Hayes Davenport, were on talking about Impractical Jokers.
Yes.
So you are listening to the Best of the Best Show 2015, a look back at some of our favorite moments of the, someone called it the reboot.
Reboot
of the best show.
Yeah.
That's good.
Is that good? You like that?
Get all J.J. Abrams on there.
Yeah. Lens flare.
Lens flare. Space.
So that was
That was all on all our list, too, that Joe Carino one.
Yep.
I mean, easily classic.
Before that, we heard a clip of BB from Vegas, Mary Houlihan, and Tom all impersonating the old dude from Pawn Stars. What's his name? Is it just Grandpa?
The old man.
Is it the old man?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's called the old man on the show.
But he has no real name? No identity?
Yeah, I mean, he has a real name, but he's like his action figure would say the old man.
Okay.
Haven't watched it in a while, yeah. Can't remember his name.
And then we started that little set off with the Newbridge Wall.
Yeah.
Still a classic.
It's got to be
memories, guys.
It's got to be the number one call of the year, I would say.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
If we had more time, you know what I wanted to pitch? I was gonna say we should have recorded a lot of like folly sounds of like us climbing down the basement stairs, and then being like, "Hey, Jason, I found this old crate. Oh yeah. Oh wait, don't close the door." And then it slammed, and then we would have had to remember back to all these clips,
yeah,
in sitcom fashion, and then you would have heard the harp every single time.
I wanted to
pitch that earlier this week before I got the stomach flu.
I feel that Tom would have quickly thrown us all out.
Didn't Happy Days do episodes like that? Didn't Happy Days do things where they show old clips and sort of reminisce? Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, their clip shows. I mean, most of the shows, most of the Gary Marshall shows, use the same clip show formula, and like all those, all that Nick at Night stuff.
Right.
It was always like get locked in the basement or the attic or something, and yeah. Anyway, I just thought it would be a great vehicle for this thing, and I blew it. I dropped the ball.
Hey, maybe best of 2016.
Yeah.
2016 is going to be huge for the best show, so maybe we put that in there.
We should have made this one actually like a Time Life collection. We kind of are.
Yeah.
We're not selling it. It's a free show, people. The free show.
Yeah.
The next clip we're going to play is a very fun clip from when Tom was on the road. Of course, Sharpling and Worcester did so many shows this year. We were all lucky to be able to be at the Philly show recently.
Yeah. Which, I was at the Brooklyn shows. They were great.
Yeah, absolutely blew us away. And so this was when Tom was, I believe, calling from, I want to say Toronto. And he brought back the idea of reviving Staten Island Garbage Rats.
Okay.
So we're going to hear that in just a second. But first, Pat got to engineer the very first musical live performance on the best show in 2015.
I had the honor and privilege of working with Martin Courtney. That was a great episode. His band was so good. They had everything but a drummer, and we didn't know how we were going to do it when they showed up. We figured out a way pretty quick. I wish Studio was there for it, but it ended up working out, and I'm really proud of the result we got, which you'll hear now.
And the name of this song is?
It is, I believe, Northern Highway.
Northern Highway.
New album. I don't have the album information. But if you just type in Martin Courtney into a computer, guys.
Okay, so this was
the record.
This was the first performance, first musical live performance on the Best Show, the rebooted Best Show for 2015 right here. On the best of 2015.
Thank you. So this is what I was thinking. Think about this. Here are the factors. Factor one. Mike is looking for a new thing, right?
Yeah.
Factor two. I'm falling apart. I need a thing.
All right.
Factor three. Since in the last couple of years, we've welcomed to the family, Mike and I have welcomed Studio and Kristen are now part of the squad. So here is what I'm thinking. Staten Island garbage rats. Studio and Kristen can be the Jared and Brandy of Staten Island garbage rats.
Yeah, okay.
I would love
to. Maybe that's what we were missing the whole time, right?
Yeah. And right? I saw a photograph online of the, speaking of Staten Island, the Impractical Jokers, I guess, just did a triumphant Staten Island tour where they're on top of a tour bus and they're just meeting their masses.
What, like a ticker tape parade?
Some sort of Staten Island event that they had. And they're just celebrating their glory on ripping off.
Up and down Highland Boulevard where they're
candid camera, you know, and they're just, rejoicing.
But what do you think about that, Mike? Maybe we get those guys to executive produce it, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the guys who brought you Impractical Jokers.
Yeah.
Staten Island garbage rat.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's a connection.
It'd
be
like, and it'd be like, I'm Mike, and I'm gonna clean up. I know there's some good picking to be done. At the dump, right?
Yeah. Fresh Kills? Like, that's the name of the dump, the big dump. Fresh Kills. Great name for a dump.
Fresh Kills.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a mountainous area in Staten Island. It's closed now, right, Tom? They finally...
I think it is.
It reached full capacity, this dump. Mm-hmm. But it was getting all of New York City's garbage, right? Wasn't that...
Yeah,
it was being trucked in.
Burrows.
And there's literally a giant mountain of New York City garbage that, you know, finally they closed down. It reached its full capacity of garbage. And so, and I'm sure it's, you know, Staten Island's proud that they have this mountain.
And you can find really nice things there?
Well, no, you're going to find garbage. But I guess that's why we're desperate. You know, we're digging. You know, we're like...
desperate and digging.
Like Daniel Lewis and...
Wait, okay, how about
this? There will
this?
Be blood.
How about this? One man's...
Do you remember the... God, sorry.
One man's trash is our trash.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Wait, let me process that. One man's trash...
is our trash.
Is our trash.
That's our slogan, our tagline.
That's what Jason and mine will be.
Oh, that's what we say when the camera's, on us.
Yeah.
And we go, back to back.
Yeah, it's about giving them something that they don't expect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, and look, one of the things is we're going to have to make this thing as fake as any of these other shows, so we might as well start staging some of these things, right? I think Mike needs a sidekick, like an animal sidekick, right? So what would you think about a monkey?
A monkey.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it's you and this monkey digging through garbage together at some Staten Island. And you're
can I get a chimp? Chimps have a little more personality as far as...
We'll make it a chimp.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Mike and a chimp.
Yeah. All dressed up,
you've got a chimp. You dress them up in an outfit you found.
Yeah.
Some weird baby suit you found. Right?
Yeah.
In the dump,
mm-hmm.
and then you're just like, check under that box, and then he's like flipping the box over and stuff. So, like, hold on a second, what's that? And his name should be
How about Cuddles?
Cuddles? Okay.
Cuddles and Mike.
Cuddles the chimp.
Hey, Cuddles.
I like that.
Cuddles.
I can't believe that Cuddles would get, top billing over a Mike.
Yeah.
Cuddles and Mike?
Yeah.
Everybody loves
a
chimp.
Mike and
everybody
Cuddles
loves
and Mike, yeah.
has a better ring.
Cuddles and Mike or Mike and Cuddles. It's going to be Cuddles and Mike.
So he'll go like, Mike will go, Cuddles, check under that box. And go, oh, my God. And then the Staten Island Garbage Rats logo goes up. Right at the commercial break. So it'll be Studio and Kristen are the couple digging through trash together. Right?
Yeah.
It's Mike and Cuddles.
Cuddles and Mike.
Cuddles and Mike, sorry. I didn't want to add a... Sorry, Cuddles. I didn't mean to insult this non-existent chimp who got... who, for 1 second, didn't get top billing over Mike.
He's testy about it.
I mean, you need to be careful. They'll bite.
Yeah. And then Mike can also do, like, things with, like, the Cuddles cam, right? Maybe Cuddles has, like, a little camera, like, mounted to his tool belt or whatever, and then...
Oh, my God. Data like, will come after you.
And Cuddles is always trying to eat the garbage, and I'm trying to pull it away from him, you know?
No, Cuddles,
like,
no.
Yeah. Like a rare first edition of Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises, you know? No, you can't eat that, Cuddles. You can't eat it.
Giant bite mark out of it, yeah. But you could also send Cuddles into, like, to, like, see what's going on with, like, the other teams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think they're doing pretty good over there in that over in the section 8 over the garbage dump. You send Cuddles over, you put like a trash bag over his head. It looks like he's just like a bag blowing around at the dump. But he's spying on the other teams.
And Cuddles is naturally, he's a better climber than me. So he can go up those steep cliffs, you know, that are, you know, hard to scale, you know?
Kristen, honey.
Trash cliff.
Kristen, honey, do you see a bag of trash floating around over there?
Yeah, wait. And then suddenly you'll be like, and then you guys will be like, hey, where did that David Johansen album, that David Johansen gold record that we found? Mm-hmm. In Fresh Kills, where's that? And then you see Cuddles scampering off with it and bringing it over to Mike's pile.
This is all I want to see now.
He'll be a fan favorite.
See?
This is all I want to live now.
Exactly. It's all you want. I don't want you watching it. I want you being it. Yeah, we'll get you on there, and then we'll get, I guess I'll have to have a team, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know who I want on my team. Pat, I guess we'll have a team, right?
You'll be you and Gary the Squirrel.
No, it's not going to be me and Gary the Squirrel. It's weird.
Gary could be berating you through the whole thing.
Well, Pat Byrne will be like the young, like he's like the... He's like the heartthrob of Staten Island Garbage Rats.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He's like the young idealistic guy on the show.
All of Staten Island's teen mags will love him.
Mm-hmm. Who would be, Staten Island teen beat will flip for him. I got to figure out the other hook with you, Mike, is that you're also like the, for lack of a better term, the S-House poet, right?
Yeah.
Like, you find these books, like, suddenly you'll find, like, a copy of, like No Exit, and you'll start just reading passages from it, right?
Yeah.
Just, like, and you'll just do soliloquies.
Mm-hmm. Now bringing the reality show to a new level.
Yeah, amongst the trash, you'll do soliloquy. Just your poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You're reading the stuff, and you're just talking to Cuddles about the significance of
Schopenhauer?
What's his face? Of Schopenhauer? Yeah, you talk to him about that.
Yeah.
He just, what's the guy, what's the L.A., the bum, you know, the
Bukowski?
Bum from L.A.?
Yeah,
Bukowski.
Yeah, I'm like, not a fan.
Now, but you, then that's what you'll say to cuddle.
Yeah.
You'll say, like, did you like that? You'll read, like, a passage. You read some Bukowski, and then you'll say, did you like that, Cuddles? And Cuddles, and then Cuddles will, like, screech. And then you'll be like, well, you shouldn't.
It's garbage.
You
throw it back in
garbage,
the
garbage, Cuddles. And you throw the book at him. And then, yeah, I think this could work, right?
Yeah.
Staten Island garbage rats.
I'm all for it.
Well, I think you fleshed it out.
When it was just me and you, Mike, it was missing something.
It was.
But now I think the Dudio Kristen element adds like a lively, optimistic spirit to it.
Yeah.
Because, and then, but you and Cuddles are kind of like. It's like some might see it as like the end, like it's like the end times, seeing like this guy and a monkey walking through piles of trash. It's like a boy and his dog, right?
Yeah.
Like, did the apocalypse happen?
Mac DeMarco, did you ever hear of him?
Mac DeMarco, who is that now?
He's a Canadian musician.
Mm-hmm.
Who's supposed to be a very nice guy, and he said on his album that if you come to his house, he'll serve you a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And everybody that tried it, he did.
Yeah.
But they're describing the music he does as slacker rock, blue wave, or jizz jazz.
All right.
I don't know what to make of this.
Well, have you heard the music yet?
Yeah, it sounds like indie folk.
Okay.
I don't know where jizz jazz comes from.
All right,
from,
don't say that
maybe
anymore.
Maybe our listeners could help us out.
Yeah, the only person who can help me out is to help me walk into traffic if you say that one more time.
I won't say jizz jazz again.
Well, you did. Goodbye. I'll hang up on anyone, including you. Wow, okay. So
Could you play a gong song right now?
I can't. I'm not going to play any gong right now.
Please.
Sorry, I don't know if we're going to get to any gong tonight.
Oh, but you might.
We might maybe get a little David Allen on the show, but
tonight.
Tonight, oh, we'll see. Who was that? It. Who else was at the show?
I'll just stop talking then until you play it.
No. I would rather hear who else was VIP at this.
Okay, John Wayne Bobbitt. I think I mentioned Dennis DeOld.
Wait, who?
Dennis DeOld.
Who is Dennis DeOld?
Oh, that's what Dennis DeYoung from Styx calls himself now.
Wait, that's the dumbest thing I've ever. Dennis DeYoung now calls himself Dennis DeOld.
Yeah, you know how, you know, he's finally embracing his fuddy duddy? Remember at the end of that, what was that rock concert they had, that concept album, Kilroy was here?
Yes, yeah.
And they had that thing where at the end of the show, they did like a boogie-woogie medley of old rock and roll songs. I mean, what 15-year-old in 1981 doesn't want to hear Blue Suede Shoes, right?
Yeah, what 15-year-old who finally got money to go see the band that did Renegade, like who's been playing the Pieces of Eight album, can't wait to go watch Styx go act for 20 minutes before they play a note of music.
Yeah.
And then play their new crummy album and then do a rock and roll medley at the end.
Yeah, they finally cut loose, and, you know, they don't play that old hat stuff like, you know, Blue Collar Man or Come Sail Away.
No.
They play some stuff by the coasters.
They're too busy doing a whole lot of shaking going on.
Yeah, oh, and when he could dance like a bandit, man.
So Dennis DeYoung is now Dennis DeOld.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, who else was there? Robert Englund? Edward James Olmos. Okay. Edward James Olmos, the porn actor.
Oh.
Fred Savage. Savage Fred, the wrestler.
Okay.
Omarosa.
Okay, from The Apprentice.
Celebrity Chef Levi Roots.
Who?
Celebrity Chef Levi Roots.
Levi Roots.
Yes.
Okay.
The Roots.
The Roots.
Yes.
Okay.
What else? Ronnie Spector.
All right.
The Mythbusters.
The Mythbusters were there. Okay. Stretching the definition of VIP a little bit.
Oh, F you. That's a good program.
Okay.
Who else? Lance Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got booed.
Okay.
Yeah. Greg Popovich.
Okay, the coach of the San Antonio Spurs.
Danny Woodburn. He was great. He had some good moves.
Who's Danny Woodburn again?
He played Mickey on Seinfeld. He's the best guy. He was hanging out with Mickey Dolenz, too. What a great gang.
Wow, that's a real who's who up there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Former governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell.
Okay, that's an odd one.
Greg Gutfeld.
From Red Eye.
Yep.
The guy who used those Red Eye.
Yeah. Angus Scrimm.
Angus Scrimm.
Yeah.
Wait, not from the Phantasm movies.
Yeah, the tall man.
The tall man from the Phantasm. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Who else? Gary Hart was there, too, yeah.
Okay, Gary.
Yeah, he was having sex.
Okay.
He's still into that, man.
Sure.
I give him props.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Good for him.
Yep.
That's a real heavy-duty VIP section, Bryce.
Right?
Yeah.
But in front and center?
Yeah.
The president and the VP. Mm-hmm. And may I tell you, Biden was so out of hand that Bob Weir had to throw one of his sandals at him.
What does that mean?
Well, that's a major event. I mean, Bob treats those sandals like they're his children.
So an actual sandal on his foot.
Yeah.
So he threw a sandal at Biden.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's, I guess.
Within seconds, Ramrod came back on stage and gave him a new one, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ramrod. What?
Yeah.
What's Ramrod?
Are you kidding?
I don't know. Is that a roadie or something?
Yeah, he's the roadie.
Okay.
Been with him forever.
Okay. Ramrod.
Oh, but man, I'll tell you what.
What?
It's a real shame Mike's parole issues kept him from being at the shows.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Andrew in Brooklyn.
Andrew in Brooklyn. What neighborhood in Brooklyn are you calling from?
Oh, no. I was afraid you were going to ask.
Kickball Heights? Where are you calling from?
No, I'm calling from Flatbush.
Cocaine Gardens? What?
You know, Sunset Park is a real one, but...
No, I knew that! Like up. I never... Man, if you ever wanna get a rise out of anybody, tease anyone from New York about anything, and suddenly the people who say everything they want about every other spot on the planet, they have no sense. Suddenly, it's the most reverent situation. Well, you know, Sunset. What's it called again? Sunset Heights.
Sunset Park.
Sunset Park. Well, you know, Sunset Park's a real neighborhood. One guy wrote me, "You sounded real stupid when you were saying that." Yeah, you'd almost think it was a comedy show.
Yeah, he kind of seems like a real genius writer.
You. I've never been able to. People, like, I made fun of there was a blackout once in New York, and it was like a blackout for like a day.
It's nothing.
There was like, and then everybody in New York had their New York stories about the blackout. Yeah. Oh, the bodega was passing out popsicles. And then we were up on the roof having a cookout, and they're just doing everything. It was the greatest time ever. And then it was like, yeah, meanwhile, in New Jersey, we went 8 days without power during that blackout. It was not fun at all. And then when I started making fun of it, like teasing New Yorkers for it, some guy was like, oh, I guess you think it's real funny that someone who probably needed a kidney dialysis couldn't get power for their thing. That's real funny to you, huh?
It's like, that's a fun take. That's a fun take on the, just to bring up. Yeah.
Then there's, Dudio, Jason. He started off as being the guy who, couldn't figure anything out with. Like, huh, this guy seems pretty normal. Now, I don't even know where to begin with this guy. First of all, he steals and resells cats. He flips cats. He went on. He was bragging to me how he went on a vacation, and then they had this famous cat at the hotel, and then he took the cat and then brought it back here and flipped it for two cats. So he's flipping cats. And then, can I play a second of this? You sure? Then he's like, but you know I want to. It doesn't mean I should. You sure? Because there's no going back. You're sure? This is Matrix time right now. You're going to take the pill. You swallowed the pill. It was like Morpheus saying, well, there was no pill, maybe, right? The Matrix, wasn't that the whole point? I don't know. All I know is that those two, the Winklevoss twins, were in that second one, I think. Right? Was that them? Was that the Winklevoss twins? And they sure kept us waiting for that car sequence. Like when they were like, Matrix 2 is coming out. Then you see the scene where he's bouncing from car to car on a highway. It's like, yeah, we'll get to that. But first, we're going to just show you some tribal council stuff for about 45 minutes. Just in case you're wondering about the politics of the world of within the Matrix. We'll show you what how a council meeting goes. Oh, and Cornel West is on the council board. There's no going back. Dudio gives me this, his air check, when he was starting off as a disc jockey. Let's take a quick listen. Just a quick listen to this. I just want to hear a second of this. This is Dudio the demo you put together?
Yeah, so this is his air check.
To get a radio job.
Deep Purple on 96 Rock. I am Jason Gore, going to be in here with you for a couple of hours. And at 9 o'clock tonight, from 9 until midnight, 3 hours of some of the deepest classic rock you've ever heard on the radio. In fact, some of it you may have never heard on the radio. English Nick gives you the Vinyl Vineyard from 9 until midnight.
The Vinyl Vineyard. And Jason was telling me the Vinyl Vineyard are like truly deep cuts. Like what would be something you would pull from the Vinyl Vineyard? Like a deep Steely Dan track, like what? Like which one? Get Back, Jack, Do It Again?
Yeah. And the Vinyl Vineyard was meant to be a little lighter, too, so it was a little more of the acoustic artists.
Okay. So for all that heavy stuff we were listening to, then you'd hear what? Like Father and Son by Cat Stevens? 100%. Take your time, hurry up. Maybe then you can marry. You are young. I am all. I could do a Cat Stevens act, right, Mike? Could picture me in a club. You go into a club and it's me on a stool. And I'm going. I have an acoustic guitar, but I'm not playing it because I don't know how to play it. But I have like a pre-recorded track. And I'm like, boom, ding, boom, ding, boom, boom, boom. Take your time. Hurry up. Maybe then you can marry. You are young. You're not fine. Because then he goes up, I was once an older, right? What's another Cat Stevens song? I'm older, do laughing, riding on the peace train. Man, I could rip that dude off so badly. I should start playing clubs as Cat Stevens. Let him shut me down.
Night tonight. You can hear it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our HD2 channel. And you can also go to 96rock.com right now and get a little taste of it. But we'll have that coming up at 9 o'clock. After this, we've got some Zeppelin on 96 Rock. Boston by request on 96 Rock.
Who requested Boston? Nobody requested it. You lied about that, right?
Yeah, that was a
lie. There was no request. Oh, man. Hey, man, you going to play some Boston? Nobody's. They have two albums. Anybody who'd want to hear it has both of them already. Boy, I sure could go for some Boston. Either I could pull my Boston records out, or I could call this guy and hopefully get through it and see if maybe he'll play some for me.
By request on 96 Rock, and if there's anything I can do for you before we get into the Vinyl Vineyard, give me a call, 404.
Before we get in there, Jason will do anything for you. I love this, too, and I'm not making fun. I find this fantastic, and it just shows, in all seriousness, that you love radio so much. And that's why we're here doing this together, is because this is who you started out as. So I appreciate it, Jason.
741-9696. The Regular Guy Spooktacular going on Friday, October 27th from 7 until 11. It's going down at Jillian's in Duluth on the backside of Discover Mills. It is the biggest Halloween party, Halloween spectacular, spooktacular, that you'll see the Regular Guys at this year. You get cash prizes, sexiest female costume will walk away with $500, and the best overall costume will walk away with $500. And Sarsaparilla, the singer.
Okay, here we go. Hold on.
$500. And Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, will be there performing. So definitely check it out. Regular Guys Spooktacular.
Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla. Please tell me everything you know about Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla. But is he a gorilla? So it's a guy in a gorilla costume. Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla.
We'll walk away with $500. And Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, will be there performing. So definitely check it out. Regular Guys Spooktacular Friday, October 27th. More info, 96rock.com. 96 Rock, and I'm certain maybe somewhere in Gwinnett County, could be Cobb. There's a guy who's like, hey, man, you remember that video for that song where that girl got on the hood and danced around, and then the guy proceeded to show everyone on the hood of his car a sight that nobody ever really needed to see. Jason Gore in with you until 6 a.m.
Okay, this could be the rest of the show. So I'm just going to, that's the first of 80 installments of Jason's air check reel. So that's part one of 80, a series that will continue halfway through 2017.
And Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla.
Ah.
Be down at the Regular Guy Spooktacular. We go down hot dogs from 3 until 6.
I was in the Vinyl Vineyard.
Oh, man. Real
memories.
Back when I worked in radio, got paid like, where radio pay was like $8 an hour.
Oh, I know. It's horrible, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, man, you work in radio. That's so, see, there's the voice. That's the average listener voice.
Yeah. $8 an hour. Wow, yeah.
And they're like, man, come on.
Because it's a glamour industry, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about appearances.
We should just be happy to be here, you know? Like,
Why
should we pay you?
Hold on a second. I don't know why Pat's calling my cell phone when I said, hey, man, call.
He's in the ether, man.
So the stomach virus is really getting to him.
Well, I
really
think he's
getting
out front.
To him. He's just... Dial the number. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's what we have heard in that little block. Of course, you heard my air check. If anyone's looking to get me on your station, I will never do classic rock radio again.
Jason.
Hey, how are you? You're on the air, man.
Weirdest thing just happened. I called the studio line before.
Yeah.
And it forwarded to your voicemail for some reason.
It forwarded to my voicemail?
Yeah, it went straight to your voicemail. I don't know why that happened.
Well,
definitely wasn't me.
Oh, that's really creepy. Huh.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Well, we're only talking about the Vinyl Vineyard.
Yeah, no, I heard it. I was listening.
Anyway. Before that, we heard Bryce Worcester call talking about the Final Dead show.
Yeah.
That's a great full call that you should... that's just a clip of a fantastic Sharpling and Worcester full call that you should... download right now.
Lots of people suggesting that clip.
Yes. Lots of people really upset that I played Jizz Jazz, except for Mike. He was still laughing in the other room.
You know, Fredericks, you know, said he wanted to lead with that.
Yeah.
And I said, Fredericks, you know, you're going to last 5 seconds. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, I'm surprised that callers haven't, like, sort of gotten what's going to set Tom off, you know?
Right.
So I steered him.
I remember
that. Yeah, so I said...
You, hearing you screen it, yeah.
Yeah, I said, you know,
save that for the end of the call. And, and you know, he had a nice conversation, and then he flamed out.
The anatomy, predicted. The anatomy of a Fredericks call.
Yeah, exactly.
What I remembered was you saying to him, well, you could say it, but I know he's not going to like it.
Yes, I do remember hearing
like,
that, too.
I was like, oh this is going to be good.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we have a few minutes left in the show. We're going to try to blow through as many clips as we can. We'll come back and say goodbye after some of these clips. But, Pat, this next clip is your favorite. It's when you got a name.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, yeah, it's an important one for me. I mean, I'll selfishly call it my favorite. But
yes. No, it's important.
Do we have time for it? I mean, there's so many other clips, you know.
No, we've got time. We've got time. Okay. We'll get to it. So let's not talk about
it. Cut it off early.
Okay.
I guess it's all right.
I will cut it off early if I feel like it.
Dude.
That's just right. that's
Studio's feeling the power. He's getting that. Yeah,
there's something about this seat.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So
check your cell phone though, because something funny's going on.
Yeah, that is real weird, man. I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know why. All right, guys.
Here it is, the schemer.
This guy's like a Mentos commercial brought to life. You're like a walking Mentos commercial. Like the way those Mentos guys would calm their way into things, right?
Right.
You went to a concert. I've always thought this was one of the craziest things. It was Bob Dylan and Wilco.
Yes.
And who else?
Well, I was immediately punished after sneaking in because I had to deal with, who was the band? Mike, who was the band? Oh, yeah, My Morning Jacket.
My Morning Jacket.
Yeah, that was rough.
Didn't like it.
No.
Okay.
Beck was at the day before. I would have liked to have seen him.
Okay.
But yeah, the Americana Music Festival. This is summer 2014, I believe. And it was in Hoboken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing that show, and you're like, hold on a minute. How much were tickets?
Oh, tickets were like, I think like $90 or $100.
Yeah. For a festival show, basically.
Yeah, for really just one guy I wanted to see.
Yeah. So you're like, I got to get into that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you do it?
I've had success at that point in doing it a couple times, and that was...
First, are you proud of this? Because yeah. I would be if I was you.
I'm definitely proud of it because of the extent that I took it that day.
Sure. Yeah.
So I had this theory where if I just dressed like a crew person, like in all black, I had a black pants, black shoes, and like a black polo, basically. Mm-hmm. And I had worked in production off and on. I still do. So I just had, you know, lanyards of various things and like a utility pouch that I also wore on my belt.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing in it. There was maybe a pair of gloves.
A utility pouch.
And so I wore also a black baseball hat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had all this going for me. Yeah. I just walked in and I wanted to walk in holding like a case, like a road case or something, but I didn't want to lose out on like a guitar case or something that I could actually use. That's equivalent to the price of that ticket.
Sure, because then you've just it's a swap.
Yeah,
and you might lose still.
Exactly.
But so, you went in. You wore black hat,
black polo, black pants.
Black pants.
And then I'm riding my bike from Jersey City to Hoboken, and I'm like, what is the item? Like, what do I hold to be like, get out of the way, this thing's heavy.
Yeah.
So I found a cardboard box, put it under my arm, finished riding to the festival, assembled it, and then put it on my shoulder and acted like it was really heavy, and then just walked through the place where they're, you know, holding tickets. And
did anyone say anything?
Not a thing.
No.
And then then I'm in a festival like by myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, sure enough, I'll know people in the area who are there. Mm-hmm. Mike was there, hung out with him for a bit.
Yeah.
Other people.
And, you know, Mike got in the thing without paying.
He did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He showed up 6 months early.
And let them build it around him?
Yeah.
Now that, yeah. I could see that.
His was not as cost effective right. as yours.
That's one way to do it.
He spent winter in that park.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I took it another level by trying to get backstage, and I did that many times.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I was helping people that I knew. Like, I had a friend who was too short to see above the crowd.
Yeah.
And she's like, if only I could get, like, a milk crate. Someone was like, yeah, hang on. And I went backstage. Found a milk crate, mm-hmm. brought it over to her.
That is unbelievable.
I ate the craft services at one point.
Oh, Pat, this is...
I went on stage for Wilco playing...
on stage?
Yeah. I only know a few Wilco songs. So it was when they were playing California Stars.
Yeah.
I like that Billy Bragg record they did. So I went on stage for that.
Okay, well, at least you liked one of their records.
Yeah, yeah.
To be on stage for them.
Right.
I think this is beyond hilarious that you did this.
Yeah. Well, there's other stories for other days, but.
Well, that's the first one. That's Mike. Yeah. That's why we call him the Schemer. Right.
Yeah, Mike did see me that day with the box and. I did have a close call moment. I'll end with this.
Okay.
I decide, you know, Bob Dylan's playing a lot of his newer stuff. Yeah. I'm getting a little bored.
You're going to rewrite the set list?
The most exciting part for me that day was sneaking around.
Yeah.
That was the adrenaline rush.
And
I'm bored at a concert.
So you're ready to get bounced also at this point, almost. You're like, if I get bounced,
yeah,
so be it.
Thrill ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go backstage again. And I go on stage again,
mm-hmm.
and then this time a person on stage is like, I think it was at the point where I was like, okay, I've seen enough. I'm going to turn and go down this large metal, like, walkway. And some security guy finally is like, hey, let me see those. And, like, looks at my lanyards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Or tries to, but I'm, like, trying to walk quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's
yeah.
screaming like, hey! Hey, and I'm just like, at this point, like borderline running, and then I kind of sprinted into the crowd.
And he just couldn't do anything about it, just like some dude in a black polo shirt.
Yeah, I got away with it, yeah. I ran into the crowd, watched the last couple songs, and went home.
That is epic.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right.
That's why we call exactly the Schemer. Jason's name is Dudio. Mike is King Sleaze. No, that's not Mike's name. Mike's the Bleep House Poet.
Well, this wasn't in the news, but your discussion with Matt Walsh earlier reminded me of the time when I was propositioned. Maybe that's the wrong word. When a guy, a fellow drinker, gave me sort of a hard luck story. Mm-hmm. You know, about how, you know, he his ex-wife was keeping him away from his kids, and, you know, he's been out of work, and, you know, he needed a few bucks. He was going to go visit his kid. And, you know, it was pretty elaborate, and I sort of felt like, okay, this is a pretty, you know, honest story. So I gave him, you know, I was feeling... You know, I was working back then, and, you know, I had some money, and I gave him a 20. I felt like, all right, you know, this guy really got, you know, touched my heart. And so, but he, you know, he took the 20, and we're still sitting there. And then one of the DVD bootleggers came in. and he did not hesitate.
Yeah.
He called over the DVD bootlegger. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, Tom, but the DVD bootleggers do carry a special bundle, if you ask, of adult features.
Oh, my God.
And he immediately asked for that. And essentially
used... Did he ask for the adult bundle?
Yeah, he asked for the X-rated bundle. and he literally bought two pornos with the money I just gave him. Right? You know, there was like no shame. He didn't ask the guy to go outside and complete this transaction,
that's
right?
The funniest thing I've ever
like,
heard.
You know,
so you lent you
Yeah.
You gave him $20.
I gave him $20
which he 10 minutes later. It wasn't, no delay.
He mentioned his kid.
He's mentioning his kid. He's out of work, you know. And I had just had a similar experience, so I was relating to him.
So then. And 20 minutes later.
Not even. I think it was even. Like maybe 10 minutes later.
10 minutes later, he takes the $20 you gave him and drops it on.
And drops it on pornographic.
Porn.
Yeah, yeah.
Was each porn $10?
He's showing them to me. He's asking, you know, he's like, what do you think, you know? Like he didn't even make the.
This is the funniest story I've ever heard
but
in my
it's
life.
Not a, it's not over yet. So that wasn't bad enough.
Yeah.
So I go down to the other end of the bar.
Yeah.
This wasn't at Masses. This was at a different bar.
Okay.
And I'm talking to somebody down at the other end of the bar. And, you know, I feel like, you know, it's not a problem to leave my money on the bar. I'm not paranoid about doing that. And most of the people there are honest. I've never had somebody take my money, you know, off the bar. This guy took a $10 bill in addition to the $20 that I gave him to buy porno. And then he left. And, you know, the bartender saw it, you know, he verified it, that he, you see him taking the money from the bar. And I'm like, wow, you know, so, yeah. What was tonight's theme again? Why do I bother? Yeah, why do I bother? Yeah, I felt that way that night.
If you don't mind, Tom, I really want to give this a try. This is Carol O'Connor reading David Patrick Kelly's part in The Warriors. That's the guy who went, Warriors, come out to play.
Yeah, that guy. Okay.
This is when they go into the candy shop, and that guy, David Patrick Kelly, has just gotten the, you know, the word that, you know, they're closing in on the Warriors. He's really excited. Yeah. He starts throwing packs of M&Ms around to the other gang members. And then the one guy's like, hey man, this is, we're gonna get in trouble. And then this is Carol O'Connor replying to that coward.
Okay.
He goes, no sweat, they're looking for the Warriors, remember? We could do some looking too. Or to make you feel better. That's my Archie Bunker impression.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about all this, like, acting and stuff. Like, that's all it really kind of comes down to in my mind.
Is
mixing and matching all the voices I've heard and all the attitudes I've heard and felt too. Like, I get where that guy's coming from.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like you think about the amount of work Carol O'Connor accomplished in a chair. Like, he was pulling that thing off like there was no physicality to so much of it.
Oh.
It was a guy just doing it with his face.
They should make a statue out of that and put him right there, like, next to the Lincoln Memorial.
Of the chair?
The Archie Bunker in his chair next to Lincoln in his chair.
That would. I think you just pitched a pretty awesome movie, actually, or TV show, what that would be.
Welcome to Gary the Squirrel's Trivia Night in America, the USA's number one trivia game show. I'm Jason Gore, and it is my privilege to introduce Gary the Squirrel.
All right! Yeah! Gary the Squirrel's Trivia Night in America! Let's hear it! Wait, where'd my announcer go? Will you just leave? I didn't do my best to you! What's up? What's going on?
Things are good.
Good. You can go now.
Been there.
I'm not going to do an interview with you.
Been there, done that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody! Welcome to... Wait, what's the show called again?
Trivia Night in America.
Gary the Squirrels! Trivia Night in America! America's number one question and answer quiz show. So that is how it works. If you got an answer, you say, Fred's got it or Mike's got it.
Uh-huh.
You ready?
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Question one. the founder of what beer shares the first name with the embodiment of evil?
Got it.
Hold on. This is my music. Let me get this going here. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
First thing you're supposed to say, Mike's got it.
Mike's got it.
All right.
Yeah.
What's your answer?
Adolf Coors.
Adolf Coors, that's correct. That's correct, Adolf Coors. And one for Mike, none for Fred.
Half hour power, you're on the air.
Tom.
Oh.
We are anonymous.
Good Lord.
Okay. We do not forgive.
Okay.
We do not forget.
Okay, that's fine.
Tom.
Yes?
Your day of reckoning has arrived.
Who's this? This is anonymous?
Document.
I'm pro-anonymous. You kidding me?
Today, our group has received select documents revealing your participation in the Narconon Rehabilitation Program in 1991 mm-hmm. in Trenton, New Jersey.
The Narconon.
Do you remember that?
Was I part of the Narconon thing? What did I do?
Indeed you were, sir.
Tell me what I did with Narconon.
You were a patient.
What's that?
Apparently you had it. You were a patient.
In the Narconon program.
Indeed.
Okay, what happened
apparently,
to me?
Well, it claims these documents that
yes.
They claim that you were treated and that you became a very sincere and docile servant to the church, and that you were in need of serious help due to your extreme addictions to a panoply of substances which shall not be revealed unless you request them to be revealed.
Please reveal them. I'm all for this.
Yeah. We're going to hit a dead end soon.
Well, we have heroin.
Uh-huh. Okay.
PCP.
Okay.
Ayahuasca.
Okay.
Uppers.
I was ahead of the curve with the ayahuasca.
Yeah,
there
I don't even know what that is.
Huh?
I thought I was up to speed. What yeah. is that? Ayahuasca.
Mike, I just took it. I don't know what I was doing.
Uppers.
Okay.
Downers.
Yeah.
Middles. In betweens.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, next time you're going to do your anonymous character, you might want to click back on the, Oh, I'd picture Anonymous to not exactly stammer like that. Goodbye.
A good mix of best show with half hour power. I think it's all the same.
I was cringing at all my you knows. I gotta work on that. Woo. I don't have that professionalism you guys have.
You got that's years of you know, leading into Fog Hat tracks.
I didn't realize I did that. I mean, I remember when I was in the third grade, the teacher had to wean me off the you knows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still in me.
Oh, so that was something that specifically.
Oh yeah,
was an issue.
I couldn't believe I was doing all the you knows. I was like, wow. Came back.
I don't think it was that bad though. You didn't
do
that
bad.
Many.
It was bad.
You had like a little scoreboard over
every time I said it. I never listened to myself. I can't go back and listen to shows and, you know, if people say they enjoyed it, I'm happy.
Right.
But I can't go back and listen to myself.
So we're wrapping up the show. It's been very fun to do this. It's been a look back at some of the best, some of our favorite clips of 2015. And, of course, we couldn't get them all in. There is so
much
great material. No.
It's a great year.
Great year.
And 3 hours is not enough time.
It's not enough time. So go to thebestshow.net, download all of your episodes maybe you haven't heard.
Mm-hmm.
Also, introduce a lot of new people to the show. Bring them into 2016. Let them listen to this episode, because I think it's a pretty good primer of what happened this year.
I think so.
So any final thoughts of Best Show 2015?
No, it's been fun, right? It's been a great year, you know, and let's keep doing it.
Yeah. It has been fantastic. It's been great working with you and Tom and Pat, who I guess he's got my voicemail again. I told him to call.
He's out there tonight, you know. He's
in the alley.
Yeah.
Martin Celis.
Yes.
Thanks
great
for
guy.
All of your
he was here last week.
Hard work.
Good to see him.
Yeah. It's been a fantastic year. Okay, here he is. Let's see if this is it. Pat?
Hey, my phone died.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah. So, just quickly, any final thoughts of Best Show 2015 for you?
You know, my emotions ran the gambit. I laughed, I cried. I laughed, I cried.
You? When did you cry?
I missed the crying.
Yeah, that made me feel real sad.
It was mostly the birthday thing.
Ah,
I got over it.
Did you do it in the bathroom? I don't remember seeing you in tears.
Yes, I did it in the bathroom.
Oh, wow. Right? Okay.
Okay.
And you know, I'm outside if you want to swing by.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We might oh, see no. you outside.
I might have a flat tire.
Yeah.
Either way, I want to know. I did touch all the controls before you guys got there.
Ah, no. Okay.
All right, you guys got to end the show. Thank you for having me.
Let's end the show. Big things in 2016.
Happy New Year, Pat.
Huge things.
Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, Happy New Year, man. Huge things coming for the Best Show in 2016. So many surprises I wish I could even tell you right now. But keep listening, and Tom will tell you. He'll be back in the studio next week. The final clip is actually another half hour of Power Clip.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's... one of my favorites. It was when we asked for clips. A lot of the FOT said this one over and over. So this was when Julie Klausner was in the studio with us and hung out during a half hour power, and had to come up with some band names. So thank you very much.
Cool.
Thank you so much to Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, who enjoyed a night off.
Yeah.
So.
Taking a break.
We will see you next week. Download the podcast. Tell your friends. BestShow.net. TheBestShow.net. And here it is. Band names. Good night.
Good night.
Half Hour Power, you're on the show.
Hi, this is Yonis from Columbia, Missouri.
Yonis.
Yes.
What's up, Yonis? You're here with Julie Klausner, AP Mike, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne.
Hi, everyone. I need to come up with a band name by Saturday.
Okay. What's your band sound like?
I'm not really sure. We cover...
Hey, you don't know what your own band sounds like?
What are you saying? What do you cover?
We cover a song by the Amps, Kim Deal's band, after the... Between the Breeders, I guess.
The Amps. Like Tammy and the Amps?
I don't know. It's a Kim Deal band.
Okay, yeah.
It's basically the Breeders.
Okay. Well, what do you want to know? You want to name your band?
Yeah, I've got some ideas written down.
All right, get real fast. We'll all vote on the names. Well, on a scale, everybody will give like a 1 to 10 rating on this dude's band names. We can all just say round the horn.
I'm just going to say no.
Okay, you're just going to say no?
Yeah.
You're in cat judge
music?
Mode.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
What
go ahead.
It's like indie rock.
Indie rock, right. Okay.
Number one is the Jardines.
No.
Pass.
No.
Okay. Cult Following.
No.
No.
Nope.
The Pop Machines.
No.
No.
Drunk Yoga.
Oh!
What are you doing?
Drunk Yoga.
No.
Okay.
Drunk Yoga.
I'll say yes.
No.
Yeah. No. Really?
No,
I'm on the fence.
Out of all of them, that's the best one so far.
Don't call yourself Drunk Yoga.
What else?
Okay. I've got Super Trash.
It's probably
maybe,
taken.
Maybe.
It's probably taken.
I'm going to say that's probably taken.
Yeah, that's the best. That's
2015.
Not,
it's
not great. It's not great, but
best
it's
one
the,
so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the Tweety Drops.
What?
It's too long.
What is it?
The Tweety Drops.
What is Tweety that based drops. On?
It's a Sanrio thing, like Hello Kitty.
Nope. Bad.
All right. Local advertisements.
Terrible. Worst one yet. Go back to drunk yoga.
Yeah. That was the second best. Still the second best.
King Shrimp.
Oh, come
no,
on, buddy.
God, no.
King Shrimp.
I mean, most, my favorite one was the Makeout Club, but that's been taken like a million times over.
Yeah, because it's better than any of the ones you said, and it's still not even very good.
You could well, be Makeout
there
Club
are a lot
too.
Of bands out there, and most good names are taken.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Challenges.
Big Challenges.
I've given up. I'm not
or Big
names.
Challengers.
Big Challengers sounds good.
Yeah.
Still terrible. Big Challengers. What else?
I only have one more, oh. And that is...
And it's the bottom. This is, now we're at the bottom of this list. Like, exactly. This is the one he thought of after Drunk Yoga and Big Challenge and King Shrimp. What do you got?
Well, these are the top 10.
Okay, well, what is it?
Sonic Bloom.
Sonic Bloom.
That's a band that'll never go anywhere.
Sounds. These are really the best names you could come up with?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your name?
Not very creative, I guess.
What's your name?
My name is Jonas Weir.
Why can't that be the band name? That's
yeah.
a good. That's better than.
Yeah. What you call your
band? It's not a solo.
Yeah, but
act.
Alice Cooper had a band called Alice yeah. Cooper before he was Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you just call yourself Jonas and the Dartboards or something like that? Just any kind of, like, Jonas and the Picture Frames. Just any kind of Jonas and the blank.
The Shoehorns?
Yeah, Jonas and the Shoehorns. Shoehorns.
Just the Shoehorns, I think, is
or,
pretty
or
good.
The Shoehorns. Mike's got it.
Even Dartboards is good.
Yeah.
Do people
well,
even know what a Shoehorn is anymore?
The Shoehorns are probably taken as name.
But not Jonas. In the dark.
Yeah.
But not Jonas and the, yeah, correct. Yeah.
How about foot powder?
Oh.
Oh, God. Mike just meant in general. Mike just meant overall.
Oh, my God.
He just wanted your thoughts on foot powder. Call it.
Oh, my God.
What about foot powder?
That's one for the sound collage.
Yeah. Just you going, oh. What about foot power? Oh! Well, what? Buddy, I don't know what to tell you.
I was hoping you would all have... There's a lot of great minds in the room. Well, someone might have a better idea.
You call yourself
idea.
The... I don't know. What do you call yourself? Circus Peanuts.
Crotch Rot.
The Giblets. Like Giblets, but with a heart.
Yeah. Yeah. The Gad Blitz, based on
the
Josh Gad.
The Gad Jot. The... Yeah, something.
Bad name for this
the
guy?
Chunks, the Chunks.
Oh, how
about,
was
the name we were throwing
Gad,
around.
Gad Company.
Gad, oh, that would be a Bad Company cover band where everyone's dressed
like
Josh Gad.
Yeah, and acts and sings like him.
Four Josh Gads on stage. Gad Company.
Yeah,
that would be the greatest.
You guys should call yourself Gad Company.
Gad Company?
Yeah.
So that's the conclusion.
Pat, band name for this guy?
Church Mice. Tomato People. I don't know.
Yeah,
Tomato People.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Bubblegum Chewers.
The Gaggers.
Oh, God!
All right.
My God! Stop the world, I want to get off.
I don't think these have been taken. I mean, I think they're original.
It's like you're pitching yourself for, it's like season two of the Jinx. Just like...
like you need a new Jinx.
Yeah, it's almost like you're like, I might be up Jinx. To something with these names. It's almost like...
You're like
I'm
spelling
some,
out
yeah,
a story.
I'm throwing some pretty weird Lose. Stuff out here publicly. You might want to investigate further.
The Shoehorn Murderer.
Yeah. Be like some guy be like he started talking about shoehorns and then
the foot powder.
Foot powder and then the he's I think he has crossed just like run through the computer. Has anybody been murdered at a shoe store?
be like, yeah, we found out these pay less. Four people have been murdered. Four pay less employees have been murdered in the last year in a pattern, in a circle around Bayonne. He wants us to notice him. The Jinx, too.
The Jinx, too.
Port of Call Bayonne. Right? The Jinx, too. Port of Call Bayonne.
Nice.
Well, buddy, I don't know what to tell you, Giannis.
Well, I think Bubblegum Chewers is my favorite that anyone threw out there. I don't know who said it, but
I did.
Oh, you did?
No, yeah.
That's probably my favorite. I'll take that if it's not
It's all yours.